and here we go. It's We Talk Comics 3TC, our 52nd episode. Very special 52nd episode. This one, we're going to be reviewing 52 DC books in 52 minutes in an episode known as Zero Tolerance. And we're going to go around the room here. This is going to be a very loose format today. What you're going to hear is you're going to hear us eating. We're sitting at Brett's patio, drinking, and talking some comic books. And but we have a really interesting concept for how to do 52 books in 52 minutes. Hopefully it works out. And if it doesn't, we're going to blame Chris.
I assumed as much.
Introduce yourself by telling us, what do you think is a better name? Beast Boy or Changeling?
Beast Boy. Anyone who thinks differently, I'd lose respect for you right off the bat. Boring name.
All right. And Keith, Beast Boy or Changeling?
Well, I'm going to say Changeling, but Chris didn't have that much respect for me to start.
You are so wrong, man. You are so wrong.
All right. Wrong about you not having respect for him, or wrong about the name Changeling?
The respect, but also the Changeling.
All right. Brett, what's better, Beast Boy or Changeling?
Well, if he was a member of the Legion, I'd be all over Beast Boy. But he's not, so it's Changeling.
And Changeling, I'm Moe, that's his correct name. Changeling just sounds cooler. It's more epic sound.
Oh,
Beast Boy could be anything.
Yeah, Beast Boy is kind of silly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what's cool about it.
And it fit perfectly well in the Teen Titans TV series.
It did. And Changeling's still better. All right, so like I say, we're WTC episode number 52. 52 books in 52 minutes. We have 52 remaining books. We already reviewed Phantom Stranger. We reviewed Team 7 and Sword of Sorcery. And or Sword in Sorcery?
Sword of.
Sword of. I know, I'm just looking at Keith and bugging him for it because he can't get it straight.
It'll be on my pull list, and I still won't have the damn
book. But anyways, as we've already done those three, that leaves us with 52 books. It's our 52nd episode. This is Kismet. It worked out perfect. What we're going to do is pull quotes for all 52 books and try and, like I say, do it in 52 minutes. Everybody having their go, and I'm going to lead it off. If we are ready, Keith, start the timer now. Now, there we go. It's working. No, don't touch it.
Now it's gone.
It was going real slow. We could
Brett,
have actually
you're kicking into our 52 minutes. Supergirl. Stilted, forced dialogue by writers seemingly unsure of themselves, badly heard a book, so reliant on words. And Superboy shows up for one panel and no one explains how or who he is. Huh?
A remarkably shallow...
I'll cut to you, and then you do it. Chris!
We should have practiced this.
We did!
A remarkably shallow book adds nothing to the Superman universe. I found myself wanting a lot more.
Remember to speak up to the mic.
Do I do it again?
Keith!
I smell a time travel story a-coming. Good fun. Brett.
I wanted to stop reading, and not because it was completely awful, but mostly because I didn't connect with the story.
All right. That's a mixed bag there. Superboy. A good Zero issue and jump on point explaining Superboy and his situation for those who have an interest in the character. Chris?
I found myself lost almost immediately. I guess you'd have to like Superboy to enjoy this book. Unfortunately, I don't.
Say his name!
52 tries we'll have on this. Setting the stage for something, I'm not sure I care what. Brad.
It could have been worse. It could have taken place entirely on Krypton. Mo.
Off to Action Comics. First off, I had no idea what was happening in the backup story. As for the main, I love Ben Oliver's art, and the relatable, likable, and innocent Clark Kent / Superman by Grant Morrison was just what I needed to renew my faith in the character. Chris?
A not-so-epic adventure. I'd expect more from what should be a flagship title. Keith?
The first time in a year, I can honestly say I enjoyed an issue of Action Comics. A lovely Superboy-esque adventure. Brett?
A story about a cape. At least I didn't vomit after reading it.
Wow. Two loves and two hates. Superman. Giving us fun insight into the parents of Superman and the world where he came from, as well as hinting at a return of familiar situations and characters with a new twist, this was a very effective Zero issue. Chris?
Beautiful art. I absolutely love the art. It's too bad it's consigned to Krypton and will be reconned almost immediately, as all Kryptonian stories must.
I'm breaking into the chips. Keith?
A great issue and compelling setup for Lobdell's first arc. Curious how this ties into Supergirl. Brett?
Another story about Krypton. Almost made me want the cape. Almost, but not quite. Mo.
Sorry, Mr. Negative over there.
Oh, we haven't even gotten started, boys.
All right, we're moving on to the... All right, guys, we're about 4 minutes... Four books in about 4 minutes. Almost not even quite. We're doing good. Relax. Brewery, 2, 3, 4. Let's move on to the mystical elements, mystical books within the DC world. Let's start off with Demon Lights. Smooth art and crisp characterizations made for a pleasantly paced surprise. Chris?
Frisky good fun with a character that I love in a series that I hate. Keith.
Okay, but nothing to rhyme home about. Brett.
I hate Jack Kirby. I wish Kirby had never created the demon. A tedious exercise on why rhyming characters do not work.
And I think our supper with Scott Kowalczyk just went. Resurrection Man. A zero issue that is the final issue tries to do too much. Doom from the start, it's hard to blame the issue for doing just that. Chris.
A decent goodbye to a series. If you're not reading it, don't buy this book. But if you are, this book ends the series nicely. Keith.
Wrapping up the loose ends on a book I personally brought to an end at number 2. Brett.
This is one series that needs to stay dead. The worst of the book, of the batch of zeros.
Whoa. I thought I read some crap, so I don't think...
Now, I hated this one more so than any of the other ones.
Wow.
Although it was tight with another.
Yeah, it wasn't a very good issue. I, Vampire. A gothic romance and largely quality book is still reads as a confusing tale out of place in the DC universe. Chris?
I fell in love with this art, but why do they always put good art on vampire books? I hate vampires. Keith.
Not a lot of new notes here. I think I heard this song too recently. Should have been an early adventure instead. Brett.
Hark! What beeth that I hear? Perhaps 'tis the sound of my lack of interest. Way too cleverly written for my taste.
Yeah, that was pissing me off, too. That I'm like, why are they talking like Shakespeare? People never really talk like that. Ever. All right, Justice League Dark. Just good enough to be readable, but that's all. Generally, stories featuring magic in the world of superheroes are just a little boring, and this held true to that formula. Chris?
This book has everything but the dark. Why the hell does this book exist? Keith?
I always like young John Constantine, but this will be very jarring to those familiar with his Vertigo and not DC versions. Brett.
A little clean for my Constantine, but a Doug Cub nonetheless.
A what?
It's a good book backwards.
Say it again.
Doug Cub.
Brett, if I hadn't asked you that, do you think a single person in the world would have got it?
Nope, probably not.
You didn't care. Not your job to care.
If you could read that, you'd get it.
You know, every time I see other magical talk, I start trying to read it backwards.
Yeah.
Like, it should just be on this thing. All right, go.
All right, Dial H. Dial H. Such a poor effort in every way, I actually felt sorry for the paper it was printed on. Chris.
Love the series. But this issue is weak. Considering the concept of the series, maybe it should have been left out of the zeros. Keith.
I found this a very enjoyable zero, as it was a standalone story and not an origin rehash.
Brett.
I needed to call 411 for more information to help me understand this book.
All right. So nobody really liked this one. No surprise. Come on, mice. You guys didn't comment that mine said such a poor effort in every way, felt sorry for the paper was printed on. That's a good line. I'm hoping they use that as a pull quote in the back of the trade paperback.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
All right.
For those who hate paper.
Yes. Do DC hero books, just kind of the hodgepodge books that don't really fall in any place. We're going to start off with Deathstroke. And Rob Liefeld wrote and drew, and it's awful. What a surprise! It's too bad the origin of such a great character was left in the hands of one so utterly lacking in skill. Chris?
When did this take place? World War II? Yesterday? I don't know. And this issue doesn't make me want to find out. Keith?
A cluster fudge of continuity. Brad.
Keith, your language?
You would know all about continuity as well. Mm-hmm. Horrible art, stupid characters, attempted to do way too much in the book, and created a villain that I would never want to read based on the story. Well,
thank you. I was waiting for you to say my name. Hey, let's do Jedi Combat. Green Palmiata's Unknown Soldier arc is a confusing mess in writing and art that almost works despite itself, but not quite. The striking art of Elio Elovetti did a fine job from distracting me with the fact that I still don't know what happened in J.T. Krull's 8-page that wore the time forgot backup story. Chris.
Like the series, beautiful art, but in the end, not enough meat for a dino to bite into. Keith.
The War of the Time of Forgot could have stayed forgotten, while the Unknown Soldier deserves to be known better. Brett.
War equals no sales, me included.
One thing that's not coming anytime soon is a war book from DC. Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad.
Squaddies unite.
Hey, I'm reading this off my phone. I think I'm doing well. Generic and silly, this is exactly the reason why 50-plus books is more than DC needs to produce monthly. Chris.
Amanda Waller's backstory somehow left me cold. This book needed more meat to it. Keith.
Amanda Waller kicks some butt in this post-Team 7 adventure that I've forgotten the plot to completely. Brett.
Hooray! More skinny Amanda Waller in Team 7. I'll go back to read Image Comics.
Brett, keep talking. I got some chips to eat.
Oh, yes. Well, perhaps you shouldn't be grabbing the chips while Chris is trying to talk.
Yeah, perhaps I shouldn't. But then again, maybe I'm doing people a favor. You ever think of that?
Oh, you might
tick,
be.
Tick, 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 tick.
Okay, I'm thinking.
Oh, come on. I'll
we have lots
this.
Of time.
When I get to Batman, don't worry.
Blue Beetle. Yeah, you're right. This one's a little lengthy for me. Blue Beetle. An extremely visually effective book telling the origin of Blue Beetle's scarab while still setting events for the near future. The talented Keith Giffen and Tony Bedard left me with something I never expected. I want to read more of this version of Blue Beetle. Chris.
Loved it. Kind of brought me up to speed on a character that I've neglected. Definitely going to be checking into this series in the future. Keith.
Why is Nightcrawler in Blue Beetle? Seriously, go look. Brad.
Is there a Waffles for Ted Kord movement that I can join?
Ted Kord's back.
Oh, what? Good.
We're not doing any news, so I couldn't tell you. Go.
No! Stop. Oh, okay.
He's in Grant Morrison's Multiversity. Coming out next year.
All right.
Good. I thought Morrison left DC.
That's his last project, Multiversity.
Okay. Birds of Play. Of Play. Birds of Play.
You just want to take Birds of Prey out of the title so you can give it to your Hawkman series.
Damn straight. Birds of Prey. Bad? No. Bland? Exceedingly. And I just don't like the characterizations or placement of these characters within the current DCU. Chris.
Enjoyed this book, but with a plethora of female characters to choose from, Penguin should not be doing the cheesecake. Keith.
That's true.
Thrown by the confusing timeline, I couldn't get into this, and I wished for more Team 7 action.
What? Right.
Great cover.
We're going to do Captain Autumn. Adam. Captain Adam. I always get it a little wrong. Excuse me. We'll lie down a cheesy. Captain Adam. When the New 52 launched, Captain Adam was my least favorite title. Surprisingly, a year later, the same creative team is still on the book. So what do I think now? Well, it still sucks. Keith? No, Chris?
I hated this book as much as I hated the first issue. I can't believe it's gone on this long. Keith?
Ending anything at an origin story was a mistake, this doubly so. Brett?
Too little too late.
Brett? You really put the time in here, didn't you?
What was there going to be to say about this book?
That it sucked. Good point. Too little too late, though, means you might have liked it.
You know what?
It kind of implies that there was something.
Like, yeah.
Maybe if it started with this book, I could have read another issue afterwards.
I couldn't. But. All right, DC Presents. A hodgepodge anthology book of bad to bland to decent. It was highlighted by Tony Bedard's Dead Man Yarn and the title of the OMAC story, Origins Matter After Cancellation, which gave me a good laugh. Chris?
Wow, a zero issue for canceled books. If this is necessary, why were they canceled? Keith?
OMAC, keen to the max. Mr. Terrific, still really kind of Mr. So-So. And Hawk and Dove and Deadman are also in it. Brett?
It's a total grab bag. Put a hand in, pull out some crap. Put another hand in, pull out some more crap. It never stops, but it should.
I'm glad you're going last, Brett.
Mo.
All right. Off to Legion Lost. And then we'll do Legion Lost and then Legion of Superheroes. So here we go. Legion Lost, I was greatly enjoying this tale until one villain's sudden, completely out of character moment ruined the whole story for me. Chris?
Legion Lost. Since when does the future have gangsters from the 30s? Complete failure. Keith?
Legion Lost. I'm as lost as they are. Brett?
An origin story for one of the million Legion characters. Whoopee! Mo.
Brett, wow. Legion of Superheroes, a book not bad enough to bury or good enough to praise. It was just sort of there. Chris?
Legion of Superheroes. I found myself completely lost in this book and didn't care to find my way out. Just truly horrible book. Keith?
More like Legion of Sucky Heroes. Brett?
I always feel like I'm missing something when reading a Legion book. This one is no exception. Mo.
All right. All-Star Western. Writers Gray and Palmiotti know the Jonah Hex character so well, as evidenced by this great down-and-dirty Western tale. But still, the more you know about the mysterious Hex's past, the less effective a character I feel him to be. Chris?
I love this book. When I read it 5 years ago before the New 52, I actually had to check whether it was a reprint. Really, if you have the same team doing the same book, something new should be added. Keith?
Choppy storytelling, but a functional origin. Probably the weakest All-Star Western issue yet, though. Brett?
Jonah Hex may be ugly, but this book ain't.
Is that the first one you liked?
yes, it is, actually.
Wow.
We're gonna rip Marvel now a new one. I hope you're ready for that.
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready for anything. The only books that I like are way out of Marvel and DC.
First, we have to do Marvel now over a 4-month podcast episode.
Well, yeah, I'm starting to figure that out because they're rolling it out so slowly. How the hell do we do this for that? Anyways,
that's too bad because I got my fighting shoes on.
Hey, apparently, you're venom. You're full of venom. It's spit and vinegar. Absolutely, we're gonna go on to the books that are involved in the Rot World crossover. Moving on to Frankenstein, Agent of Shade, a continuity nightmare within the New 52. I never thought this series would last a year, and now I wish it hadn't. Chris,
good story. Good adventure, valuable inserts into Frank and the Agency of Shade. This is where they should have started the series. Keith?
Wacky. I should try this book again. I really like wacky. Brett?
I like the way that Frankenstein origin tied into the original story. I like the way the story was told. I actually really like the book. Mo?
I don't really know what you mean about continuity, though.
Neither do I, but we'll save that to the end.
Yeah, well, let's
34 minutes and 49 seconds.
I have I can check that one off.
That's right, everybody's allowed to bring back 3 books that they want to discuss further.
Well, so far we haven't had many options to bring back, but...
No, so there's one. There's one. Well, if you call it, then Keith can't call it, because he's only allowed 3, and if it's still on his list, then he only gets 2.
Keith can call it. I'd wonder why you like Blue Beetle.
All right, we're burn in time.
I'm sorry. Jesus. Snap.
Go.
Snap.
Go.
Dude, whiplash. If you're going to eat right after you stop talking.
It takes me... You guys are so slow to do it. By the time you get back to me, I'm just putting it in my mouth. All right, Animal Man. Everything the new DC Zero Months should be... filling in backstory to entice new readers while giving old readers new information, all wrapped up in a book of ultra-high quality. Loved it. Chris?
The book does what it should. Provides backstory, enhances the regular series. Although I always imagine Buddy making his own costume, not having it provided for him. Keith?
I love Buddy's origin. Every time. It's always wacky.
Brett. Despite not
I didn't
having...
write those together, actually.
No.
Sorry, Brett.
Despite not having read the rest of the series, I understood everything and love how they tied it in with the older Grant Morrison series.
Well, that was good how they did that. Swamp Thing. An odd, macabre, gory horror story that I found unintentionally ridiculous and hilarious. Sorry. Fail. Chris?
A very different interpretation of a story I've read before, but I think the direction is becoming really interesting. Keith.
So that's Swamp Thing, right?
Yeah.
Swamp Thing. I like the restating of Swamp Thing's origin, though the story can be a bit arcane at times.
Shit. Rimshot.
Well written and especially interesting because it tied into Animal Man. I like that part. Both.
All right, Green Lantern.
By the way, I did like all those books. So
mm-hmm. You liked all those books. Yeah. I knew you would.
I think you've narrowed down it. I think you found a little pocket.
Yeah, I kind of like I have my DC niche.
Yeah, yeah. All
it's
right,
going to get worse.
Green Lantern. Green Lantern Corps. Wonderful writing and art with characters I know and identify with. This makes me wonder just what great stories I've been missing out on in the last year. Chris. Green Lantern Corps.
Green Lantern Corps, a valuable insight into Guy's character. I never related to Guy Gardner as a person before. Before he was just a caricature rather than a character. Really got into this book. Think I'm going to be checking out another issue. Keith.
Guy is the best, as always. Brett.
Good Guy Gardner story. A strong origin that gave the character a bit of humanity to latch onto.
Huh. Well, that was... Everybody loved that one. Nice.
Yes.
Nice. All right. Green Lantern. I have no idea what Geoff Johns was trying to do in this issue, but whatever it was, it sure does make me want to come back next month. Chris?
Green Lantern. A real letdown after the wonderful writing on Green Lantern Corps. Keith?
A good bridge to who this new Green Lantern is and why the authorities will be fearful of him. Brett?
Taking a chance on a new character could help me make people forget about the movie.
Fate praise all around there, Brett. Red Lanterns. This issue properly told the origins of the Red Lanterns, but did so without any sense of drama or excitement. Chris?
Red Lanterns. I was expecting nothing and got the book of the Book of the Zeros. Really, truly loved the Red Lanterns. Definitely going to be continuing on with this one. Keith?
I hope this is tying into something, because it's an info dump of oddness otherwise. But the Manhunters kick ass. Brett.
Pretty well written and drawn. Way too alien for my taste, though, nowadays.
You know what? That's part of it for me, too. That's definitely part of it. Green Lantern and New Guardians. Very good story and jump on point, but a pretty lousy representation of what a Zero issue should be. Chris?
New Guardians. I was a little confused by this book. I kind of thought the events of Blackest Night didn't quite take place as they did in the original New 52. This book probably belongs before the New 52 rather than after. Little confusing. Keith?
You're obviously not reading off your page. I really wanted a Kyle Rayner solo origin story. Instead, I got issue number 13 early. Brett...
I don't think anyone could explain the storyline to me in 500 words or less, so I'm not going to be interested.
All right, we're moving on to Justice League then, right, Brett?
Justice League books it is.
Yeah, Justice League kind of books with a Justice League or Justice League tie-in as we see it in some way, shape, or form. We're going to open up with Green Arrow. The story of an immature young man whose actions have catastrophic consequences, leading him to feel responsible and become a superhero. How original. Silly and stupid, you didn't notice the terrible art thanks to the terrible writing. Chris?
Why can't we start calling this guy Arrow and give Oliver Queen a call? I miss him so dearly. Keith?
This guy is called Oliver, right?
He's Oliver Queen. I think we need to give Mike Grell a call. Mm.
Let's just get
the beard back. He did the cover of the Arrow promo comic.
Yeah.
Just giving that, you can get it on Comixology. Glad to see the island is still in the origin. I could have had some more Roy time, though, to explore what that relationship is about. Brett.
I hated the characters and I hated the story.
So what do you really think?
Yeah.
Earth 2. Very well written and drawn. A good read, if a little confusing for those who haven't been following the series. Chris?
Oh, Robinson, are you the only one who gets what a Zero issue is? Great book. Enjoyed it greatly. Keith?
Terry Sloan is developing into a great villain. Although I thought I'd hate the Earth 2 Trinity, and instead it was great to see them again. Brett?
Hey, this might be a good book after all. Oh.
World's Finest. The initial meeting of two female heroines destined to be BFFs. I suspect this wasn't written with someone like me in mind. Chris?
The Xena-esque friendship in this book is formed way too quickly. Why can't we give Robinson a call? He's the only one who really understands Earth 2. Keith?
A great pairing with Earth 2. This might get me back into the book as I'm so digging that world. Brett?
Are these origins for characters who don't appear in the regular story?
Which characters?
I don't know.
Was that your...
They're in their own book.
Was that your pull quote, or is that just a question?
Huntress and Power Girl were Robin and Supergirl from Earth 2.
Oh, okay.
Which you read in World's Finest number one.
Yes, that's... Yeah,
I mean, so like you need a huge amount of backstory. You read the other cover.
Yeah.
All right, 27 minutes left.
How many books we got left?
I don't know. Probably not 27.
No, definitely not. I knew
we are going to have to slow down.
So. All right. You know what? If we slow down, you know what that means? I have time to eat the chips. Who thought it would be a good idea to put chips in front of Mo? I thought this wouldn't turn out poorly.
It's turning out poorly, all right.
I was dead set on sabotaging this as much as possible.
No, you. Congratulations.
You, sir, are for being successful.
I'm going to put a big turk in my mouth and then chew that for about 7 hours. Hey, you stole my big turk. Chris? Wonder Woman. While not adding much to the Wonder Woman mythos, this has DC's best artist in Cliff Chang and a fun throwback-style story and represents the best of the DC Zeros. Bravo. Chris?
A waste of space. I've read this Wonder Woman before. Really didn't enjoy it. Keith?
I dug the classic style, but war is a father figure. This woman is going to have boyfriend issues. Brett.
How many different written versions of Wonder Woman can exist in one universe? Because she was nice in this one, and she's not very nice in the other ones.
All right. Savage Hawkman, as I try and get rid of that big turk. Delicious, though. Savage Hawkman, a well-thought-out, well-paced story that is exactly what issue readers were meant to. Who knew how Liefeld had it in him? Chris?
A Rob Liefeld book with words? I don't get it. I think I'm just put off by the pockets. Keith?
I agree that this is in the format of a comic book. Brett.
I agree with you, too.
Oh, I couldn't quite get that out. Go, Brett.
You knew it was gold. The brave and the gold.
That's right.
Perhaps if I try and jam as many words as possible into this, then I can reach half of the amount of words they put into one panel of this book. Oh, and it wasn't very good.
All right, The Fury of Firestorm, the Nuclear Man. What a cool, fun story. DC has done a good job giving these characters a chance. I feel I need to pay them back by doing the same. Chris?
Two characters who don't like each other forced to share a power? If it was done with any sort of joy or joie de vivre at all, I would enjoy it. As it is, I'd rather watch Will and Grace. Keith?
Oh, who knows? Wrapping up unremarkable run with an unremarkable garble of an issue. Brett?
I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it either.
Well, it's going to be all new next month if Dan Jurgens takes it over, so it's going to be completely revamped anyway.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's taken over at 13 or 14, 14 maybe.
Has this got a trade?
There's one more issue before
he takes over. See, we are still getting the news.
There you go. So that's the weekly news.
And that's
sponsored by Comicosity, if I didn't mention. This entire segment is sponsored by Comicosity, the website or the interwebs best comic book website. That's right, Comicosity, with news, previews, interviews, and more. Comicosity. I'm there myself, an average of, 10 to 15 times a week. Don't be a geek. Visit Comicosity and proudly be a comic book geek. And now, back to what the hell we were doing. Aquaman. Jeff Johns truly understands and inhabits the world of Aquaman as a writer, giving us a story that hits all the right notes. Chris?
The pros of this book are... Sorry, the cons of this book are Aquaman fights a shark. The pros are it's a really big, cool shark. Keith?
This comic has, bar none, the best splash page of the month. No pun intended. Brett?
Pretty to look at, but there's not enough going on. Mo.
All right, The Flash. Interesting and unique storytelling. I'm going to start it over. You can cut it or not. I don't care. Actually, you can't. We're at 52 minutes and 50. You can't cut anything.
Nope. So you've got to move on. In fact, we better start moving because we may have...
No. We'll be all right.
There's 22 Batman books. Come on.
I thought there was 40 Batman books. That's the Flash. Awesome. Interesting and unique storytelling elements from both the writer and artist. This book shows the potential of comic books as a storytelling medium while giving me a hero I root for. Spectacular. Chris?
A nostalgic tale of the Flash. Once you divorce previous incarnations of the Flash, I think this is the book for just about everyone. Keith.
Daniel West. Now you're just teasing. Brett.
A good story, a good character, an art style that was all right, but not enough to hook me and keep me going.
Can we turn some light on out here, Brett, while I go through the next ones? Is there no potential to turn lights on? For you guys to read off of?
You need light? I don't need a light to read off of.
Chris could use light, trust me. Trust me. It would help to have light. Please?
I don't feel that need, but okay.
I don't think it's going to help.
It's going to help in a minute, because it's going to get dark. I'm moving on here. Justice League. There, some lights came on.
Yes, great. If you want to move and wave.
All right, that helps a little bit. Okay, Justice League. Concentrating on my favorite character, Shazam, I appreciate that others working DC also have an affinity for him, but this is easily the worst of the many interpretations of this character and his origin I've read. Still, it's not without potential and obviously important to the future plans within the DC universe. Chris?
Like the introduction of the new character, Shazam, but that said, sacrilege. Bring back the big red cheese. Keith?
I'm still not sure how this book fits into the JL storyline. Billy still has a lot to learn, and I didn't buy the close enough excuse. Brett.
Shazam! Didn't work. It's still there.
Well, no wonder you don't need light if you're going to have like that. All right. Wildstorm books. Stormwatch. Despite the feeling that Peter Milligan isn't as clever a writer as he thinks he is, an intriguing cliffhanger and the terrific art of Will Conrad drew me into the Stormwatch world. Recommended. Chris?
I had no idea what was going on. I guess you'd have to care about the characters in this book. I don't. These characters ended over at Image. Keith?
I'm not even going to pretend I had any idea what was going on. Brett?
This is what the Demon Knights team turns into. Oh boy.
Spoiler alert! Anyways, the Ravagers, the veteran team of Howard Mackey and Ian Churchill turned in a fun story. If the number one had been as enjoyable as the Zero issue, I might have stuck around when reading it months ago. Chris?
Textbook average comic book. Give me a break. Keith?
So bad I don't even remember reading it. Thank you, Brain. Brett?
A story with a bunch of characters I don't give a rat's ass about. Mo?
Grifter! out on the... Wait, I have no idea... Wait, oh, my Grifter notes have somehow been mixed in with my Green Lantern notes.
Well, I also hate the new Grifter. I like introducing, you know, a different ethnicity for Grifter.
I'm not looking after the decades to the Grifter Corps.
After the... Oh, Red, so I'm Red
gonna,
Grifter is I'm gonna, awesome. I'm gonna Red read, Grifters is awesome.
Because I have no idea what it was, I'm just going to read to you what it says now. It says, out of the last year, Green Lantern. I have no idea what Jeff Johns has been doing this issue, but whatever it does, it sure doesn't make arms say, I exist. I think pretty much I was saying that this is a book that just screams, hey, I exist, and that's it. Chris?
I like a Rob Liefeld book. Wait, I'll say it again. I like a Rob Liefeld book. Doesn't feel natural, but it's true.
If you say it three times, Candyman might appear.
I think if you say it three times, Rob Liefeld is appearing. That's what I found.
Don't from, say it again!
That's what I found from Twitter. Yeah. it is a great setup for a crossover that's not happening. Brett?
I got nothing. Mo?
Voodoo! Whoa! Surprisingly decent, but still completely unremarkable or memorable. The Demonites sure look cool, though. Chris?
A totally unremarkable book. I'm kind of glad it's canceled. Keith?
This was my 52nd review. This book should have been put down a month earlier. Brett?
Where's the stripping? I missed the stripping.
Yeah, stripping would have helped. Well, how does she feel about dancing? All right, Batwing. We're moving on to Batman books. Oh, man.
All right, so
17 and a half minutes.
17 and a half minutes and we're 900 pretty good. Books.
Yeah, 900 Batman books in 17 and a half minutes. That's the new title of the issue of episode number 52. All right, here we go, Batwing. The poor, forced dialogue almost distracted from the bland art and generic story. Almost. Chris?
Hey, what do you know? I like Batwing. Who knew? Keith?
More of the same. I lost interest in this book pretty much halfway through the first issue. Brett?
Just another excuse to tie Batwing into the Batman world and continue to justify his pointless existence. Mo?
Well put, Brett. Batgirl. Very well written and drawn, yet it managed to make the entire concept of superheroes and the superhero world seem ridiculous. Chris?
Batgirl. A remarkably shallow comic book. Keith?
Not what I expected, but good art and good fun anyway. And James Jr.'s back. Brett.
Strong origin story, good character. Go Gail Simone.
Catwoman. A likable book, but it's hard to imagine writing a story this illogical without significant effort put in. And the art style was so cute it made me want to puke. Chris?
Light fun, but left me wanting more, considering the serious subject. I was completely lost on this one. Keith?
Tying into a movie version that is older than the target audience. Brilliant! It was terrible. Brett?
Which movie?
Batman Returns. It's the Batman Returns origin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It really is, isn't
it? Exactly that origin. The movie's 20 years old, and I didn't like it that much as, like, when it came out.
Yeah.
But that's what kids today like. They're like, movies from the 90s.
They
that's
like
what
the
20-year-old
movies. Yeah, absolutely. The whole book looks way too clean for what I really wanted out of a Catwoman title now.
All right. Talon. Or Talon? How do you pronounce it? Talon. Without the familiarity of the Court of Owls backstory, to me this just read as a one-note monotone monologue by a character who bored me. Chris?
Really like this book, but reminded me a little bit of Azrael, Shadow of the Bat. I can't wait. I'm in for the series. But there's enough things going on that concern me. Keith?
A decent origin and start, but I still don't know what the driving force of the plot of Talon will be. And Mo, I totally called what your review would be. Without having read any of my vowels, is it just like ninja who wants to quit ninja-ing is chased by other ninja? Is pretty much, that's all you're going to get out of it, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. And pretty much, like, it's all in captions, and the entire captions just felt like a monologue. Like, a guy who never changes, like, he spent his entire time telling this, and then this guy, and my dad had me trapped, and so I ran away. I can't picture any emotion behind this book. Brett, go on.
Another circus? Seriously, DC? It's getting to the point where half of the DC universe came up through a circus.
It's the same circus.
I know, which is actually...
It's not another circus, it's the same circus.
Yeah, it's what makes
Dead
it
Man.
Worse to me.
Dead no, Man, well, Dead Haley's Dead circus is the same one that Nightwing was trained in.
Yeah, Nightwing, but what about Dead Man? What was his circus?
No, that was like so-and-so of brothers.
Okay.
So there's two circuses. Well,
they screwed it up.
But honestly...
Yes, two circuses. Again,
well, so you didn't read any of the else, though. Because Haley Circus's core is key to the... 13 minutes is core to the whole deal with the Talons. Like, the history of the Talons is...
How many even I could see that. Circuses are there?
I could see that.
One circus!
I could see that. That the core of,
there's this like is the Deadman Circus, and there's Haley Circus. Okay, Haley Circus has been around for 100 years.
But Haley Circus, so then Haley Circus, every superhero...
No, all of the Talons. Got trained in Haley's Circus. That's the whole concept of the Talons. And is that so they were all trained in Haley's Circus.
Without
and
knowing Dick Grayson about the Talons.
Would have been a Talon.
But even I got that. No, seriously, I got that from the story. Because it's the part where he says he's losing another one.
But still, you know, it's just to me, like, to me, I hated the circus element.
It answers the question, though, would this book have meant anything to you if you hadn't read Night of Owls? The answer is no.
Yeah, no, big no. No, big no, absolutely. And that said, the unrealistic part is that there's two successful circuses touring America. Anyways, Teen Titans. Telling us the story of how Tim Drake became Red Robin, it's not a poor comic, but it is hampered by the fact that it would have been better served as a multi-issue story arc and an artist capable of drawing emotions on his characters' faces. Chris?
Good story. Enjoyed it. However, I can't help but feel it was harmed by the wedging into the new 52 timeline. Really damaged by poor editing. Keith?
Tim Drake's unique Robin-ness gets its day. I loved it. You'll probably hate it. And so it goes. Brett?
A Robin origin. How refreshing. Mo?
I thought you said you had stuff to say.
We'll get there.
Okay.
He's got an 8-minute talk at the end. I told you what happened.
Yeah. All right. Batman Inc. I've never been able to decide if Batman Inc. was a brilliant idea or a vanity project for Grant Morrison, but this is a fun issue. Know what would make it even better than a team of Batman, though? A team of Hawkman. Chris?
A whole hawk world, as it were.
Is Tim Truman on speakerphone?
Batman Link. Inc. Love the concept. Love the silly characters. What this one missing is the fun. Damn depressing. Keith.
Utter nonsense. Inc. Brad.
This is everything I could possibly dislike in a Batman story. Completely against what I want in Batman. Maybe if I ring the bell, Alfred can get it out of my head. Mo.
All right. Red Hood and the Outlaws. Explaining how Jason Todd became Robin and then the Red Hood, I've been struggling to describe this book. Let me see. How about... Stupid. Yeah, that's it.
Chris? Red Hood, a smattering of white trash cliches, does not make a serial superhero. Maybe he could have done something a little bit different. Needs more. Keith?
I'm not sure that I trust Jason's narration in this story any more than I do Joker's in the backup story. Brett?
A Robin origin. How refreshing. Mo.
I think I know where Brett's going with his next one.
10.5 minutes to go.
I think I know what Brett's going to say. Brett, let me actually do yours for you, and you'll tell me if I get it right, okay? All right. Nightwing, Dick Grayson's Robin origin. I'd like to quote the Montel Jordan 1995 dance classic, "This is how we do it." A great read. Chris?
Enjoyed it, but reminded me of Batman and Batman Forever. So how good could it be? Keith?
Robins everywhere. Brett?
No.
Oh, wait, we're going to let Mo.
Does it say a Robin origin story? Something like,
how refreshing.
How refreshing. That's it. I forgot what he said.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
The 52-0 months should just be called Origin of the Robins.
It's the Origin of the Robins crossover. Batwoman. We're going to... Oh, okay, breathe. We have how much time? 9.5 minutes. How many books does that leave? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 books in 9.5 minutes. Oh, we'll be
fine.
All right.
We're fine.
All right. Bree, 2, 3, 4. We're on to Batwoman. Finally written and drawn, I personally found it a little overdramatic and sentimental, and the character is someone I just don't connect with, as she seems ultimately selfish to me. Chris?
First of the 0 issues that really felt planned. Truly, a great book. Enjoyed it. Keith?
Text heavy, but awesome heavy. Brett?
Nice looking book. I just don't really see a reason for her existence. Well.
All right. Batman and Robin. Whoa. Excuse me. That's the Coke. Batman and Robin, like an Ed Wood film. One more take. Batman and Robin, like an Ed Wood film, it's almost so bad it's good. It had me often laughing out loud at the unintentional comedy. But the key words are almost. To quote angry video game nerd, what were they thinking? Chris?
Enjoyed it, but wanted more. You only get 1 0 issue. Make it count. Keith?
Yeah, Batman and Robin actually is in my top 5 favorite DC, so I was curious who you're trying to give it a read. My review. Oh, Damien, you so crazy.
Are you sure you're going to fill out 8 more minutes with this now? Now, we're going 52 minutes. It doesn't matter.
That's right.
All right, Brett.
Brett's got a little speech written at the end there, it looks like.
Okay, good, good.
A Robin origin. Whatever.
Well, why did I not see that coming? All right, we're doing Batman the Dark Knight. Batman's origin is arguably most often told in all of fiction, so I feel sorry for anyone trying to find a new twist on it, and give this book a pass, despite the forced story, for the tremendous art. Chris.
Batman the Dark Knight. Best Batman comic book I've ever read, with Joe Chill actually being discovered and caught. That said, he wasn't caught. I am blanking this from my memory. Keith?
The best Bat book of the Zeros. I love the new take on Joe Chill's role. Brett?
The art wasn't my style. I found it an odd fit with the rest of the books.
Mo? All right, Detective Comics. Fueled by Tony Daniels' picture-perfect art and a story that builds perfectly, this felt like an unknown and important piece of Bruce Wayne's understanding of what it'll take to become Batman. Recommended. Chris?
A solid, good book. A solid, good book. Truly enjoyed it, but I kind of wanted more. Detective should be about detectives. Keith?
Early Bruce is driven in a much different way than we've seen before. Very engaging one-off origin background story. Brett?
I like the supporting characters in this book. Maybe Bruce Wayne, too. Definitely the supporting characters. I am going to just talk one little thing about this book, though.
Yeah. That
I know everybody loves this book. I like this book. But the backup story annoyed me.
No.
Because of...
They're in a circus. That's your problem.
Yeah.
No. It's the same bloody circus.
It doesn't matter. I'm sick of circuses. The characters in the circus.
What was the backup story in this one?
It was the one with just the flashes of the Robins.
Nope. Sorry.
Oh, no, that was in Batman.
Yes. Oh.
It was the Alfred story.
Yeah, Bruce Wayne coming back. My number one problem was that I didn't feel like Alfred would A, be unshaven, or Wayne Manor would be unkempt. Because I thought that Alfred would have, you know, maintained those things while waiting for him. So I didn't feel like that part hit the mark. I love the story, but...
Yet his total absence in Batman the Dark Knight didn't bother you at all. This kid can go walking down Crime Alley at age 4? Come on!
I don't think Alfred is really as responsible as Brett thinks he is. I kind of phoned it in.
Honest to me, Brett, look, the guy hasn't heard for... He doesn't know if the guy's alive. He doesn't know if Bruce Wayne's alive. He doesn't know what's happening. He's got all these financial issues of trying to keep the house from being taken away. He's losing all hope. He's at his wit's end. I mean, to me, that's completely logical.
I thought that the drama of a real estate offer was really one of the high points of the month. Really, the discussion of the of the resale value of Wayne Manor.
If only we could get more mortgage talk in comic books today.
Yeah, that's right.
Four and a half minutes left. How much? We only have one book left.
Yeah.
Oh well. You want to talk about Frankenstein now?
No.
No, we got to finish.
That's not how it works.
Got more chips.
It's going to happen sooner or later, Brett.
He's licking the bowl now. If I put more chips in, he'll be less messy than what he's doing.
I don't know about that. You've met him, right?
make that 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, 3.5 minutes.
I don't understand Frankenstein. I don't know if I even read Ravengers, actually. I think I read it.
In order to remind me why I thought it was a continuity issue, I'm going to need to look at the issue, because I can't remember 52 issues, the details.
You've complained about the continuity on Frankenstein before, and I still don't... I don't know how it doesn't fit.
Have I? Anything.
Yeah. Hey, you said something about... You know, when I said I was working on the timeline, you said, well, does Frankenstein make sense? I said, yeah, it does.
Well, that's because I read Frankenstein, this issue of Frankenstein.
Oh, you read the Zero already.
Yeah, I read the Zero, that's why. All right, let's move on to Batman. Whew. While the main feature by Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo had strong psychology related to how characters would behave at the beginning of Batman's career, nothing in it stood out as particularly special to me or would make me want to read more. James Tynion... The fourth backup story was well presented, though. Chris.
Surely like the Batman. But once again, all these Batman books really should stand out, and they don't. Keith?
Lead story, love, love, love. Red Hood and the Brownstone. A nice slice of bat history. The backup was a good flash of all the Robins prepping me for Robin Origin Month.
You wrote that. You wrote that on the go.
That gold just comes off the top of my head.
That was gold.
That was. It was fool's gold.
Fool's gold. Yeah.
When am I getting those extra chips?
Well, you won't give the bowl back. You're like you're literally just licking your fingers and rubbing up the little bit of cheese that's in the bottom of the bowl.
Ah, that's a good choice.
That right there, that was some disgusting imagery for the folks at home.
Anybody who's been on the bottom of We Talk Wrestling knows most fat. Hey, yes, what are you doing taking some of my chips?
I'm eating just the cheesies.
Oh, okay. Hey, wait, what are you...
You bought them, why didn't
you... Yeah, you bought them. As I'm about to yell at you, I realize you bought them.
Because there's pretzels in it, and it makes me feel like I'm not eating just a big thing of cheesies.
Good point. All right. It's health food, then, if it has pretzels. Yeah. Brett, you only got a minute and a half, for Christ's sakes, go.
All right. Well, the cartoony art was a struggle. The continued next year part was a complete and utter bust. I expected a whole hell of a lot more out of Scott Snyder. I was expecting this to be the Bat book that I was going to just truly jump on, and I really didn't like it very much at all. And the backup story, honestly, so many Robins.
We got 57 seconds. Chris, do you want to throw in your review for the book that you want?
Sure, Sword of Sorcery.
Yeah, Chris was disappointed to find out that we weren't doing the pull quotes for the books that we had already reviewed.
Thankfully, Sword of Sorcery didn't have any Robins in it.
Are you sure?
Sword of Sorcery. This gem of a book rocks. Truly, truly outrageous.
Ah.
Wow. You were plucking from many different sources.
God, and you thought we'd run long. We got 24 seconds and change left.
I thought we'd run short. Oh, wait. We would have run a whole hell of a lot shorter if we hadn't talked about chips for 4 minutes.
Those chips are tasty, dude.
Perhaps we should explain to our American listeners
what cheesy are. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And DC Zero part is over. Woo!
There we go. The I believe officially the apple has fallen. Isn't that what happened from Times Square? And the 52 books in 52 minutes is over. It's a new year. And let's not talk to DC for a week or so.
Good luck with that.
Dude, I just finished the timeline. I didn't even want to talk comics, really.
Yeah, you did.
Well, yeah, okay. I'm putting that one over on you.
All right, make with the gifts.
All right, yeah.
All right, well... Okay, well, we've wrapped up. Do we want to... Let's do some gifties.
Let's do some gifties. Apparently, you brought some gifts for us because to celebrate our 52 issues.
If you have... I may have mentioned once or twice on Twitter, maybe once or twice in the podcast, that I went to San Diego Comic-Con this year.
Wait a second. All I want to know is...
twice an hour?
Is that here's the thing, Keith. I don't know what you got, but I'm hoping for me and the gift is more chips.
You didn't even send us a live update.
No, I really wanted to. It just didn't. I was too busy, you know, being at San Diego Comic Con.
I hope it's not a robbery.
We could probably get it up by next week.
So, Mo, now you've read the 0 months. How are you feeling about the new 52 now? Now, okay. While Mo is chewing the chips, because he wasn't fooling about the chips. Chris, which do you prefer, Alien or Psycho?
That's a tough one.
I ask the hard questions.
In a fight?
No, in bed.
Which one looks better in a dress?
In bed.
I'm going with the Alien.
I'd sleep with Psycho, but in a fight, I'm going with the Alien.
I don't know how to handle that question. Mo, Alien or Psycho?
Mary F. Kill? Is that what we're doing?
No. It shouldn't be as painful as it is.
I'm going with Alien.
All right. Well, for you, a Wayland Industries ID tag.
Oh, that's awesome.
And for you, Chris, a Bates Motel bar of soap.
Oh, awesome.
That's great.
And Mo, celebrating your return to any DC Comics in a year with a DC Comics pin from the DC Comics booth.
I had no problem with that. And you asked me how I feel about it. I'm really glad because like 2-3 months ago you said this. You threw this out there. You were like, let's do all the 52s. And I was like, no way I'm reading the DCs. And then I was like, okay, I'll read like 7 or 8 books that are most interested in me. And finally I broke down just beforehand and said, okay, that's it. I'm going to read them. And I'm really glad I came back to them. The only thing that really makes me mad left is the skinny Amanda Waller. A lot of the issues I was having, the continuity to me is a lot tighter and cleaned up. The characterizations has settled down. The sex and violence that I felt was just really, really in your face before is now seems in place to where it should be within the books. And I there's like 6 or 8 books that I'm like, I really like those. I want to keep reading those every single month. So... I'm really glad. I don't know if it doesn't feel the same to me, but I'm a lot better about DC. I have no ill feelings towards DC at this point.
What was your favorite?
My favorite book overall was The Flash. Oh, if I'm going to pick number one, I go The Flash, then probably Wonder Woman and Nightwing, Green Lantern Corps, Firestorm. These ones really impressed me.
And, you know, most of those, your prediction was that you'd be okay with the ones that were completely new ideas.
Yeah.
And less with the stuff that was major retcons.
Yeah.
And that's actually, that list is some of the heavy retcons.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And so that's kind of cool. I thought it'd be the fresh issues, but Animal Man is obviously another one. I don't really see myself going to Rot World just because I don't see the other two issues, the other two, you know,
Frankenstein are mostly standalone.
Yeah, and Swamp Thing didn't really work for me personally. A couple times, like a couple books, like Swamp Thing was one of them where I thought, it's like I'm laughing out loud when they don't want me to, and I think that's a fail. And the Batman and Robin had me doing the same. Though then again, maybe that was written as a dark comedy. Certainly the final line from Damien with a sword to Batman's throat saying, I thought you'd be taller. Has got to try to be comedy. Like
Tomasi's got a good style. I really, really like that book.
Yeah, that was one it might be good month to month, but I didn't feel like that issue worked. But yeah, no, I'm feeling good. And like I said, I'm feeling good about a lot of the characters that, like The Flash, really. That the way that, not just it was written, but also just the way the art was done, using panels, like almost, it's like you had your main panels and you had side panels that were telling background story that filled in what wasn't happening in the panels, but they were like a slightly different art style, and so the page layouts were really, really unique and original. And I thought, this is it. This book is actually, to me, pushing forward what comic books can be in a new way. I don't know if they're doing this every month. It was just a thing.
No, Flash has that style every month, and Swamp Thing and Batwoman both use a similar.
Yeah.
All ones that I read and trade rather than digital, because there's so many 2-page spreads.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that.
And I prefer to have the big space because I read on a tablet.
But yeah, I mean, I did really. Flash is my favorite. But yeah, I mean, Wonder Woman, I mean, you guys weren't as all as high on Wonder Woman as me.
Oh, I hated it. I thought it was awful.
Why did you hate it?
I just hated it because I didn't like War as a mentor. And I didn't like the fact that it just struck me that Wonder Woman was, you know, like, so, like, they haven't figured out a plan for Wonder Woman. And that this was just another Wonder Woman, you know.
But you've been reading Wonder Woman, right?
No. I gave up after two because I hated it.
After two issues?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe that's it, though. I mean, I mean, the reason why this works is because it's almost like it was saying to me, like I say, I'm not familiar. I only read the first one and I didn't like it at all. But to me, this was, like I say, this was presented like a 1940s comic book. The art style was like a 1940s, and the writing style, and the thought balloons, and the overdramatic dialogue, all of it was presented like an old-style comic book. So I wasn't sitting here literally thinking to myself, this is, like I say, giving us anything important or new. Just they were giving us a fun retro story. And you could take what happens here and say it happens in Wonder Woman, or maybe it doesn't happen in Wonder Woman. It didn't really matter, because it was a one-off, fun, different type of story. Like, it doesn't matter if War... I didn't read this and go, War and continuity now as a mentor. I went, War in the 1940s, they were pretending it to be a 1940s book that they were reprinting, was a mentor. And in that era, I could have pictured it, and that's just fine.
I didn't care for the...
Now, are you comparing Wonder Woman? Are you comparing Wonder Woman to like what you've read in Justice League? And,
yeah.
I mean, I'd say that in general, if you're not reading a lot of DC, everything will not really jive with what you read in Justice League.
Yeah, well,
like,
I mean,
none of the books really have. That appeal.
I mean, for me, like my feelings on the whole thing are, I'm Mo now. I guess.
Is anyone here actually reading Wonder Woman month to month?
I'm not. No.
I'm just, I was distracted in the Zero issue just by the fact they have a male War on Femscura. I thought that was like a big taboo no-no.
I thought actually he wasn't on that. Well, was he on that planet?
Yeah.
I guess he was, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, it doesn't matter. It didn't matter if it was no-no or not, because this wasn't really happening. This wasn't a story to me presented in continuity. This is, to me, like I say, it was a reprint of a 1940s story. Done by modern people. Done by, and I love Chiang. I really do. I said, I think he's the best artist working in DC right now, in my opinion. And well, there's some that I really, really like. I like Ben Oliver a lot.
What's he do?
He did the Batman book. Which one was it?
All right, well, I'm going to do Brett's presents because we're in. So, Brett went to San Diego.
Two times, 2007 and 2009.
All right, and he brought me back a stack of stuff. So Brett's swag is piles a little heavier. An extra copy of the San Diego Comic Con souvenir book.
Ooh, thank you.
This is a bag of not stuff about San Diego. This is that's for other, that's football stuff. Because Elaine had season tickets this year. My wife had season tickets, so she had a bunch of extra stuff. You can have or not have. As requested, it is a rolled object for those listening at home.
I've
handed him
a scroll
object.
Oh yes, very nice. Another Strangers in Paradise to add to my collection.
It is a Strangers in Paradise, the San Diego Comic Con print for this year. So they are available. Wonderful. Just at the show, and then I believe through his website.
Can I keep that in the bathroom for a minute?
And that's a big no on that one. Thank you very much.
And the big present, and this actually I got at San Diego Comic Con and has become incredibly apropos as a gift for Brett after this week. And you know, congratulations on the special episode that aired that was on our podcast this week, the interview with Bill Willingham. And here is a print, promo print of Fables, signed by Mark Buckingham, Bill Willingham, Steve Laiola, and that's probably an anchor or something.
Wow. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Who gets a kiss? It's Keith.
Who's the week's hero?
You know what? I think you're going to do way more than kissing over there.
That is sweet.
That's really cool.
This rocks.
Yeah. And what? I was at the dollar store the other day and found Avengers Grab Zags surprise toys. So I picked up four of these.
Awesome.
In a nice rattly package.
That's suitable for audio recordings.
I have, of course.
You know what? We can't have that kind of background noise in this episode.
Hey, Chris, hand me one of those red ones then.
Red one. Red beer.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else? Beer.
I'm good.
I got red and yellow.
I'll go for a beer. Which one should I have?
The yellow one is nice. I haven't tried the red one.
You know what? This is like.
I'll try the yellow one.
It's like Kinder eggs that I can't open. Oh, there it is. So what I got here?
It's a tarot. I just found out Kinder eggs are illegal in the States.
They are. There's a law against putting toys inside food.
Really? Yeah. Candy-coated toys sound like a bad idea.
It does, really, doesn't it?
That's a good idea. You know what? If Kinder eggs get across the border, the terrorists win.
All right. I got a Hulk shooter.
I got a cat.
Very well.
Holy crap! That thing, Brett, you're never finding that again. Yeah. In the dark, I think went about 15
feet.
Well,
it was fun while it lasted.
There you go. What a waste of a dollar now.
I have a Hawkeye shooter.
Oh, Hawkeye. Yes, be careful with that. You'll put an
eye on it. What is this part supposed to be? Is this a coaster?
It's actually a card to... it's so that you're not supposed to be able to feel through the package, but I don't think it works.
No, I don't think it works.
Oh, okay. All right, well, I got...
because the Marvel minis look pretty neat.
I got a little Captain America.
Yeah, I was able to feel through the package and which ones were the minis.
I can't tell if this is a Captain... It's a Captain America skateboard, and it's kind of cool, but I can't tell if it's a skateboard for the sake of being a skateboard or it's supposed to be a keychain.
It's a skateboard for being the...
probably for the sake of being a skateboard, but... Yeah. I mean, there is a little kind of plastic thing on it.
Yeah.
It might be wearable as a lanyard, which makes even less sense.
Oh, man, I'll put it around it as a... I'll put around it as a chain around my neck and get all the women.
Chris has got a shooter.
I got a Loki shooter.
Nice.
So,
nice.
My thought, friends, that was...
back to the subject at hand.
Was just that rather than... Because we never really plucked out a single book, so we should maybe just run down through each of them and just quickly give our thoughts, maybe just on each of the different blocks, you know, if you like that, didn't like
it. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Now we're going to do... 52 books in an hour and 52 minutes.
Yes. No, I'd like to think that we kind of can get through this a lot faster.
Well, one thing I do want to say, though, I mean, I talked about what my favorite books were. And you know what? The Action Comics would be up there, too. Like, I'm going to just tell you the books I really liked. Once again, I'm just going to throw
well,
those.
We can just do that, too.
Let's just do that for now, and then we'll probably come back. But here's the books that I really liked. And then we'll probably do the books we didn't like so much, okay? Okay, so just for me, Action Comics I liked. Demon Knights I liked. Blue Beetle I liked. All-Star Western I liked. Animal Man I liked a lot. Green Lantern Corps I liked a lot. Wonder Woman loved. Fury of Firestorm really enjoyed. The Flash was my favorite. Stormwatch was a surprise for me. And... Batman Inc. I surprisingly enjoyed. Nightwing I loved. And, Detective Comics was the other one I really enjoyed. So those are the books for me that I enjoyed quite a bit. So that's quite a few. I don't know how many that is, but that's probably, what, about 10 books?
Yeah,
10, 12 books?
That's a lot.
Man, it should be more than it was for me.
If you look at it, it's like, that's 10.
It's more than me.
I don't know if I would collect all those, but I'd probably collect a good portion of them. So that really worked for me. I mean, Stormwatch, for me, was all about the fact the twist at the end really worked. I didn't see it coming. I thought it was really good. Chris, what were your favorites?
My favorites?
Yeah.
I have to say the standout books were the surprises. Red Lanterns I thought was awesome. I was expecting nothing, and I got something special. And Batwoman. I've been trading waiting on this. And I think I'm actually going to go back and pick up the issues because there isn't a trade.
Is there a trade for the Firestorm?
First six should be out.
Yeah? I think to pick that up.
All the trades will be out by November. All the first wave stuff is out by October or November. So if it's not out yet, it'll be out soon, the first six issues.
Okay. What are your favorites there, Keith?
I think the surprise one for me was Action, for sure.
God, I was expecting to hate it. I've
hated every other issue of Action that I've tried, so it was quite surprising to me. Animal Man, Swamp Thing, their regulars for me is Earth 2. Very much enjoyed those. Dark Knight being my top one of the month, I think, is probably... that in Action would be the most surprising things for me. I hadn't tried Greg Hurwitz yet, the new writer on Dark Knight, who took over at number 10. So I will definitely be going back and looking at those issues. Batman and Robin, I really liked Batman. Most of the Batman origin stuff I really did enjoy. I thought they all were able to find a different part of Batman's backstory to talk about.
You know, here's something actually that bothered me actually when doing this, and it bothered me about Batman. And I don't know, I'd like to get you guys' opinion on this. One of the things that make Batman unique is that here's this guy who is so driven that he went and became the most special superhero without powers in the world. And what you see here is with the Batgirl character, with what's her name?
Batwoman?
Batwoman. Barbara Gordon and Batwoman.
Batgirl is who you said first.
Batwoman. Was that something Kane? What's her name again?
Kate Kane.
So you got Kate Kane, you got Barbara Gordon, you got Jason Todd, you got Dick Grayson, you got even the Batwing character. There's like, it seems to me, if you are at all, have any sense of athleticism and are driven at all, you can become as good and dangerous a fighter as Batman and have basically the exact same origin of go out, get trained, and you can fight off a whole bunch of heroes. And to me, it makes Batman a lot less special because they've made so many characters that have the exact same origin and basis of being a really, really driven person who's really, really intense and who's gotten trained and has some athletic ability, and now they can fight and be special. And so Batman's less special. Do you guys see what I mean? I think that really hurt.
Four more books.
I'm not even talking
more Batman books, I'd be there.
I know about six more Robins, please.
I know exactly what you mean. One of the big challenges of the five-year backstory. I mean, we know from one of the Batman books that he returned like 6 years ago. So he becomes Batman sometime after that.
Yeah.
And all of the rest of those characters, I mean, there's a 5 years ago story, the backup story in Detective that has the Robins, in Batman that has the Robins, has Dick Grayson in Gotham about to perform for Bruce Wayne 5 years ago, which means that's presumably when his parents die.
Yeah.
So my issue is not actually with how many of those characters become Robin in whatever time period. It's that all of them have to be trained in that period.
Yeah.
And it's not about how long they served as his sidekick or partner or whatever.
You can get trained to be a Batman in 6 weeks.
About the same time as it takes
to become a pro wrestler.
There is like a Charles Atlas program.
Yeah. No, it's true. But I mean, even like a character like Barbara Gordon, it's like, okay, she's really smart and she's had a little bit of martial arts training. You know what? She's good enough to be a Batgirl. Just like that. It just doesn't make being a superhero and being Batman special because all these people are almost as good as him or as good as him. They're presented like Tim Drake is presented really as good as him. I mean, Jason Todd had no. If you look at him, I still can't think of when I read that book. The reason I thought it was stupid, the Batman, Jason Todd story in Red Hood in Red Hood and the Outlaws, is because I went, why would he pick this guy? He showed no potential. Other than the fact that he's angry, there's no athletic ability, no, it's just all of a sudden he feels sorry for him, so he takes him in and makes him Robin. There was nothing special about him, but apparently you don't have to be special. Apparently if you get trained, anybody can become a superhero. And that really, to me, hurts Batman, hurts all the Robins, hurts all of that. Batwing, why is this guy, should not be special enough to be, you know.
Well, they built this in. If you look at all of the other characters, except Red Hood, I mean, I will totally take that with Red Hood. They built in some reason, some explanation for how they would have this kind of training. Like Tim Drake, Olympic level gymnast,
yeah,
was where they started.
Yep.
Batgirl, there's the reference to she started training in self-defense at age 6.
The only difference between Tim Drake and then basically he's an Olympic-level gymnast, the only difference between him becoming a superhero and everybody else who went to the Olympics is Batman decided he could also fight. But basically, that's what I'm saying. That's the problem. Anybody can become a superhero.
Nadia Comaneci could have been Batwoman.
Yeah, she could have been, according to how they presented this. It's just too easy, and there's too many of them, and all of a sudden, Batman's not special.
Actually, you know, the same theory is applied to the movie Gymkata.
No, but it's true.
The greatest martial arts film ever.
Absolutely.
Hell but it's yeah. true. Like, consider what Batman went through. Like, the theory is that he went traveling across the world, was trained by all these masters, went through hell, and was so driven. And all these other people are really at about his same level without having to go through nearly the same torture to get there. The only one who came close would have been, as presented here, is Batwoman, that she went through hell to become who she is and was really trained like crazy. Everybody else didn't have to go through nearly the level of training, and yet they're almost as good as him. It just makes him seem like, actually, you're a bit of a screw-up, aren't you? It took that much to become a superhero? It took that much effort? You know what I mean?
Bruce is a bit of a drama queen.
Yeah, yeah. But on the other hand, or maybe proving your point, look at any character in Batman Inc., man.
Exactly. Exactly. I didn't even want to go there because even though I kind of enjoyed the story as a fun little one-off, I want to forget most of those characters exist. I mean, let's face it, Batman Inc. is no Hawkman Inc.
Hawkman Inc. would have an easier time explaining where all the characters came from.
Yeah, it really would. So, again,
maybe you could add Ink to Birds of Prey, that way you could use this.
Hawkman, Ink, Birds of Prey, Ink. I like it. We got gold. Now we got, I'm telling you, DC's going to contact me anytime now to write that shit.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Birds of Prey, Ink, starring Hawkman. There featuring you go. Hawkman.
Yeah.
The yeah. Savage I think Hawkman and the Birds of Prey is really. Let's go.
Let me tell you this. As soon as I saw Talon, I was starting to think to myself, how can I work him into Hawkman? what else you guys want to talk about? Any other books?
Call like? It Battle
did
of
you, did you ever ask me what my favorite books were?
No, I didn't, Brett. We really didn't care.
No.
No. Okay, what are your favorites, man? What do you got on your list here? Is your top guys?
Is Robin in any of them?
Actually, oddly enough, I really like the Teen Titans Dick Grayson origin. Like,
yeah, that's him.
Oh, sorry, the Nightwing. Sorry.
The Nightwing origin.
I like the Nightwing origin. I actually thought it was a really well-done story.
Yeah, it was.
The problem afterwards just got to the fact that when I read my fourth Robin origin, or yeah. what have you, it was just like, yeah, I'm done. But, you know, I mean, I love the Rot World books. Like, if there was one thing, because let's be honest, I wasn't reading anything, you know, out of DC. And, I mean, I went in with really high hopes. I went in really desperately hoping for two things, especially. I wanted to like more books. I expected to like Animal Man. I expected to like Swamp Thing, you know, to a degree and stuff like that. And I sure certainly hope to like Frankenstein. And so the Rot World books are fine, but I wanted to like more than I did. And I couldn't come up with it. And then the other thing that I really wanted to do was I really wanted
you like
to
Green Lantern Corps.
I did. I liked that a lot.
Everybody liked that. I think that might be the only book, Animal Man and Green Lantern Corps, that everybody liked.
I just don't know. For me, like, again, it's like I liked it, but I'm not 100% sure that I'm going to read it. Like, I doubt that I'm going to carry on. I like The Flash, too, but I'm not going
to
carry
on. Well, that's a rough one, because they're about to get Green Lantern Corps is about to get wrapped up in a long, wide Green Lantern crossover for, like, 4 months.
Yeah, and these are my biggest concerns. I liked Detective Comics as well, but I, like I say,
and it's about to get wrapped up in a crossover,
shockingly
too.
Enough, yeah. I didn't like the Batman issue at all. Like, the Scott Snyder one, the one that I absolutely expected to like, because I like Scott Snyder stuff, and I didn't like it. I thought it was stupid. And then, when I got into, like, I really wanted to be able to say at the end of this that I read a Rob Liefeld book, and I wanted to write a review on it, and I wanted to be able to say, I like this book. I don't know what everybody's going off on Rob Liefeld for. And at the end of the day, I didn't like any of the damn Rob Liefeld
books. Yeah, and I surprisingly liked The Savage Hawkman. I thought that was well thought out and well put together, and it set up because Hawkman also has a big crossover coming, and it set that up very well for me.
Yeah, see,
what's he crossing over with?
I'm not sure. I just know.
Here's one of the problems that's happened though, is that you know they've
I'll see when if Rob I can find
was,
it here.
When Rob Liefeld was quitting, he talked about one of his frustrations was that he was told to start building to this crossover that's not going to happen anymore. And it's the Daemonites
okay.
crossover. And I kind of wish I didn't know that there was something planned that's not going to happen, because there's tons of elements in these stories that are clearly about building to something that I know is not going to pay off. Like Grifter, Voodoo, I don't know what to level Hawkman. Deathblow is, and the Superman Annual had Deathblow in it for like one page, and it had Hawkman for one page because that stuff was supposed to
tie. Did it have Deathblow?
For one, I think it was one panel.
Mm-hmm. What was it? I noticed that.
Which is why I was surprised not seeing him on Team 7.
Well, he's appeared in Grifter already. He was in one of the middle issues of Grifter. And all of that stuff, like in the Superman Annual, was supposed to be the kickoff to a crossover that would then tie in with the Zeros and start next month.
Okay, it's called Hawkman Wanted. Though what it is, I couldn't tell you.
Well, it makes sense given what the story was.
Somewhere. Well, and who knows... Who knows where it's at, given that Liefeld left so suddenly.
But it is, I mean, it's in the back of the DC All Access here. Talked about by Ian Settler, DC Entertainment. Talks about the crossovers that are coming, which is the Rot World, the Rise of, what is it?
Death of the Family.
Yeah, Rise of the Third Army.
Rise
which
of
is
the Third Army. Green
Lantern. Death of the and then, of course, they say something big coming up new. At the beginning of the new year, which I'm guessing is the Trinity crossover.
Now, wasn't Superman going to be involved in the Daemonites crossover?
Yes, and that was what the Superman Annual tied in.
Right, okay.
But they're off doing a Superman family crossover right now.
You know who wasn't in a single panel even in all this, I don't think, was John Jones, the Martian Manhunter. Was he anywhere?
No, because he quit Stormwatch last month.
So yeah, but still could be in the origin.
Well, it's not the origin part that.
Yeah, that's
to
true.
Do.
That's true.
Yeah,
they didn't. That's a good point.
There's some vagueness with Martian Manhunter because they've implied that he was on the Justice League at some point and isn't now.
Oh, okay.
But they still haven't told that story.
Could he be Blood Rain?
And he's. I can't see Blood Rain being brought into the New 52.
That would be awesome.
I think Maxima will get her return before Blood Rain does. but yeah, he quit Stormwatch at number 12, and he's going to be in the Justice League of America book.
Hmm.
He'll be, and so they're kind of setting up that the Justice League of America characters will be kind of anti-hero, possibly like the public doesn't trust them kind of characters. That's what they've established with this new Green Lantern as well,
mm-hmm.
Who's on that team.
I really don't understand the purpose of that Green Lantern. Not in the least.
I don't really get it either, to be honest. I kind of think he'll go off into the JLA book, and Hal will get his own book back.
Yeah.
But it's all tying into Rise of the Third Army, which is going to bog those books down for 4 months.
Yeah.
Red Lanterns, I'm glad that you liked it. It was, like, Chris, it's one of my favorite books. But I read it as art. I reread the trade. I'd actually quit buying the book and then on a whim got the trade. And I really like it as a chunk of books. But I still doesn't feel like it's getting its footing.
I have to go back. And the only previous Red Lantern book I had read was the first issue.
The first trade's a good one. It's got 7 books in it.
Yeah, the first issue was the one I read. So, sorry,
So what did everybody really, really hate? Brett, why don't you do yours really quick, because I know you have to step out for a second here.
I hated Action Comics. I thought it was wretched.
Wow.
Wretchedly bad.
Huh. That really surprised me.
I hate Superman. Like, the way that Grant Morrison writes Superman, I hate him.
But this Superman seems absolutely very different than the Superman that I read earlier when the ones.
Yeah, I didn't like anything that went back to Krypton. And I didn't like, I didn't like this take on Superman just because I thought that he was, I'm not a fan. I want the character to really focus on the Clark Kent part.
I thought they did that. I'm not so sure about, the Jimmy Olsen they have, but I like the Clark Kent and the Superman.
I certainly didn't like the Jimmy Olsen.
What else did you really, really dislike?
Well, I mean, you know, I vampire, but that's to be expected. Dilation didn't really work for me. Deathstroke was horrible. It was just stupid.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Suicide...
I'll get into that book more in a few minutes here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Suicide Squad, I didn't like because I'm not a fan of this Team 7. Like, I don't like the way the Team 7 stuff is organized. Blue Beetle, wow. I hate Jaime Reyes. Like, I just think he's the stupidest damn character that DC has. I don't want to read any book with him, and that's just it. You know, the DC Comics Presents was awful. Captain Atom was awful. Legion of Superheroes is good for its fans. Green Arrow was bad, which I didn't want, but that's what I got. I didn't like the Hawkman, mostly because I didn't like the volume of words in it. You know, it just seemed like way too much. Like they were trying to do way too much and too little in that case. And the Justice League was what it was. Stormwatch. Actually, all of the Wildstorm books just I wanted to just burn after I read them. Nothing beat Resurrection Man for me, because that between that one and DC Comics Presents, I was sitting there reading them, and I actually just wanted to stop. Like, every urge was just to stop reading these books, because they're getting stupider and stupider and stupider. Batwing is similar. And for me, like... you know, I didn't like all the Robinson, and ultimately, I just didn't, like I said, I didn't like Batman. After reading Detective, I thought to myself, hey, maybe I'll get on the Batman books. But there's so many that I lost it.
You know, you know what, Brett, you didn't like the Batman with Scott Snyder. So there's two Scott Snyder books. I keep on hearing how great these books are. I keep on, every time I read a Scott Snyder book, I always go, this is probably going to be great because he's got such a great reputation. And I always go, they're good, but they're not good enough to keep reading. Like, and that's how I felt about both Swamp Thing and Batman. I was like, yeah, that's all right. Nothing special. Like, I'm really disappointed. I think it's not that I think he's bad. It's just I'm never blown away by Snyder's work, except for the one, the Dracula, American Vampire?
American Vampire.
Yeah, that one issue, and I want to get that trade paperback and go to that. I really like that, but... I generally just walk away from Snyder going, yeah, good stuff, but nothing special.
I prefer
that really disappoints me. That really disappoints me, actually. That was one of the things that, I mean, I just don't know what everybody sees in him that makes him so special. So, Brett, I know you need to go put your son to bed, so why don't you go do that? We're going to just keep talking. I'm not sure if we'll be going when you come down or not. We'll kind of just see how it goes here. But, guys, Keith, why don't you go into what you really hated?
I'd say that the canceled books was probably the number one thing. The three books that ended at zero, I don't know why they bothered. Voodoo and Grifter, as I said, they were intended to tie into a crossover that's not going to happen.
See, I remember I read the Voodoo and I said to Brett, that wasn't as bad as I expected. I didn't realize it had been canceled. And he goes, oh, it's being canceled. It's going to be continued in Grifter. I thought at the end when it says continue to Grifter, that just make a crossover. Like, next issue is Grifter, and then it'll be back. Like, they were going to be cross. I didn't realize it was canceled and continued in Grifter like that. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, that book, Captain Atom and...
That was bad.
And Resurrection Man.
Bad.
I mean, Resurrection Man at least wrapped up its story. At least it brought it to a close.
It seemed like it was trying to wrap up the next 12 issues all in one issue, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I got out of it. I was like, this is bad, but I don't blame them because they're trying to wrap up. I could see they're trying to wrap up a billion loose ends.
I think that's why it was kind to the book, is that I knew that they were trying to wrap it up and they were in a hurry to do so. And I was appreciative that they did that.
Yeah. Yeah, it just didn't really work.
But. I mean, with the DC Universe Presents, I mean, I wasn't a fan of OMAC, but it was kind of, I liked the elements that they added to the OMAC
idea. I just liked the title, Origins Matter After Cancellation. I was like, when I read that, I literally laughed out loud. I broke down laughing. It's like, that's the greatest title. I'm like, and you know the only guy who can get away with that is the guy who wrote this, who's in charge, right? Video, like... So, well,
I mean, the Terrific story, I wasn't thrilled with. It didn't really seem to add enough.
Most of those weren't very good. I like the Dead Man. Here's the thing I've discovered about this. I didn't know going into this. You talk about DC. I have not been paying attention to this guy. I don't know where he's been for years. I don't know how long he's been writing. I don't know if he's worked at other companies. I like Tony Bedard. Tony Bedard was on a probably...
like 12 books, I'm guessing, of the 50. Like, I don't know. The guys seem to be everywhere. The point is, though, almost every book you'll see that I'm saying I like or that I want to go back to, a lot of them feature him. And even if I don't want to go back to them, I'm not saying, I don't think I said anything he wrote was bad. Like, I mean, again, Blue Beetle, which I really liked, he's, you know, it was him and Giffen, right? Like, I found that this guy, Tony Bedard, whoever the hell he is, and I'm not familiar with him, I really like his work.
He wrote one of the Green Lantern books.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
But he was writing one before the relaunch.
Oh, okay, was he?
Yeah, he was writing, I want to say Emerald Warriors, but I don't think it was.
Like, he sounds like a guy who's been around, like, the name Tony Bedard just sounds familiar.
He's
like
been
a
around
name
for a while, yeah.
That's been around a long time, but I don't know where.
He's a solid guy. I've enjoyed his work.
Yeah.
So. I'd say both Legion books were just awful. You know, Legion just isn't working for me at all, and it hasn't for a while.
Legion is hard to get into.
I laugh so hard when it, you know, there's still a few people out there who are under the mistaken impression that the New 52 has been a failure financially. I don't know where they get this impression, but that their pitch was that they would use the Legion of Superheroes to undo Flashpoint, and the idea that you would create one, that you would undo it, and two, that you would wrap it all up with the Legion of Superheroes as the core of the storyline.
You know what? That's another thing. I don't want them, now that I've read this, I don't want them going back to where they were. I feel like what they got here now is a basis of a new universe that has potential. I didn't feel that a year ago. I don't actually want them to go back to what they were doing before.
That's great.
Give me some fresh stories now. I can see that there's fresh stories. Like, for instance, like the Shazam. Like I say, I mean, I've read so many origins of him over the years. This is the worst one. It is.
Yeah.
But that said, the little bit I read before was a backup story. I think it was like the first time the Shazam showed up, like 8-page backup story in JLA.
Yeah,
I found him to be such a little brat, I wanted to punch him, Billy Batson. And in this one, I'm like, he's more like a realistic kid. Like, he's got a little bit of an attitude, but he's not completely unlikable. He's got good and bad sides. And I was like, okay, so I like the Billy Batson that's so innocent and holy moly. But truthfully, this is a more realistic Billy Batson for our universe and our time and age, and that probably needed to happen to make the character, because he was never sold. The Billy Batson I love, never ever sold. So I was actually like, there's potential here. There's potential to see, and to see the character grow and experience. So
I will give you, this version fits better into the DC universe, but that's as far as I'm going.
I think...
I didn't like the Shazam they have here. What is he, more like an Aboriginal?
And he is. I didn't know until this issue when they showed him, because they've teased him before, but I didn't realize until this that he is one of the wizards that's on the council.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
from the
Free Comic Book Day. Then.
Yeah, he was the one in the middle.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, he's so, more like an Aboriginal voodoo man or something. I don't know
who the rest of these guys are. I mean, I just reread 52, which makes me think, and it makes me think that the Apache Chief, not Apache Chief, but.
I know what you're
Super
talking.
Chief.
Yeah, Super Chief, yeah.
Super Chief from 52, that's the character I said looked like Black Bison, which other people have said. We still know who they are. I'd say easily the worst out of the entire pile, though. I mean, the three canceled ones, I just didn't think we needed the issue. I think they could have wrapped this up before this 0 month. Plus, having a sampling opportunity for three books that are being canceled doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
But Catwoman was just awful.
Yeah, I was really disappointed with it.
And to rehash an origin that, you know, was kind of crappy 20 years ago.
She's another one. Batman's not so special. If this woman with really no special athletic ability, no special training, too much, just a thief, can all of a sudden fall down into a bunch of cats and become a superhero... Well, anybody can become one. Seriously, she just, again, it just makes the whole concept of her, and same thing with this Batgirl. They just make the entire concept of superheroes seem ridiculous, because it's like everything just so convenient and fell into place so easy. But what really pissed me off about it, and Joe Mulvey in the latest Mojo show from the fantastic writer, creator, artist of Scam, if you haven't listened to our third episode, it's really good. The Scam from Comics Tribe, shout out. He said it's inconsistent for me. I was like, good. It was so cutesy. Like, it was like a realistic art style, but still a cutesy art style all mixed in. It's like, God, I was like, just hated it. I hated the art in Catwoman.
Catwoman should be my go-to, just fun, doesn't tie into too much book. I mean, that's historically what it's always been. I've always collected Catwoman just for a break from heavy continuity and like that, and there's no joy in this book whatsoever. It should be her stealing a diamond and putting it back on the same night or some like just crazy stuff.
And who knows,
that.
maybe it is if we're reading the regular stuff. All I know is that I went into this really looking forward to it because I'm a big fan of Nan Ascenti, and I was looking forward because the first one that I hated where she bones Batman, I was looking forward to seeing, which was written by Judd Winnick, and I was looking forward to reading Catwoman, a character I like, finally being written by a grown-up. And instead, I got this issue. And it just really disappointed me, too.
I wonder if it was just over-edited or what. Like, I don't know what happened, but I mean, I didn't like her Green Arrow either, so I guess maybe she's just not writing stuff I'm enjoying right now.
Yeah.
Now, Catwoman and Teen Titans have an odd thing in common. Both of them seem to hint that Selina Kyle and Tim Drake are not their real names.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
And it, like in the Tim Drake, offhand.
Tim Drake is quite offhand. The Selina Kyle, it was pretty. No, it wasn't offhand.
It was
really a major plot point, actually. Mm-hmm. But again, I kept on thinking, what's the point of she's actually Russian? Like background is she's Russian. Like, and I'm going, fuck, what the hell?
What, she's really Black Widow?
I couldn't really figure out. I mean, we're 13 issues into the New 52. I don't know who they're supposed to be, and you're telling me that they're not who
This could be fun.
I don't know.
That if there's some sort of secret organization infiltrating.
Oh, like a secret. A secret organization that's pulling the strings under Gotham City's underground.
Well, what's the natural enemy of the bat? I mean, what if bats?
Hey, maybe this could explain Deathstroke.
You guys do realize Brett was attacked by a bat out here and on his patio like 3 weeks ago. Yeah,
and he is not yet fighting crime, is he?
You know what? Yeah, exactly. He was. No, it was just like there's this little. He's like, there's
maybe
a bat.
That's what he's doing?
He said it wasn't that big. It keeps on thinking. I was thinking this as I'm reading Batman, and I see the bat come through. Wayne Manor's windows. I'm like, Wayne Manor's windows must be the weakest windows in the world because I've had birds and bats and things fly into windows of my house. They just go. Like, they don't smash nothing. I was like, are you kidding me?
Big bats?
There's big bats, not big enough to smash. Look at the window there and in his garage. You're going to tell me if a bat flew up against that, it wouldn't just fall right to the ground? It's going to smash through it? And in the plain glass windows of a huge mansion like that, that it's just going to smash so easy? I was like, hold on, there's a major flaw. If he had the window open, that'd be one thing. But if it's smashing through, come on. It's just stupid. Batman never should have existed then.
Yeah, that's where it all went wrong for the realism.
You got anything else that you thought just blew?
Voodoo was awful, as I mentioned. I think Firestorm, because they're wrapping up to kind of cleanse the palette for a new creative team, it just kind of had to tidy everything up so quickly. And it kind of had the same problem as the canceled books that, I mean, essentially it might as well be relaunching when Dan Jurgens takes it over.
But I really like this, and you know what? The reason why is because I don't, like, this version, and I can't even remember his name, is obviously what, Ronnie Raymond? Is that that's the guy who was Firestorm before?
Yeah.
And the other character, I can't even remember him. But
Jason
something, yeah. Every time I've ever read an issue with him, like I read him, I was first introduced with him when I think it was Infinite Crisis or when that stuff was happening. And because I was like, oh, they give me a new Firestorm. I just want the Firestorm I want. And I read it begrudgingly and I was like, oh man, it's good. His characterization is good. He's a likable kid, very relatable. And I just find him to be a very relatable, realistic character. And I thought both him and Ronnie Raymond in this were just presented as realistic teenage characters and likable characters. And because of that dynamic, it really works for me. And then the powers are cool. So, and the art is cool. Like, the art is fine. So, what's that?
We want to go to Chris's?
Just with the Firestorm. I think they're trying to have their cake and eat it, too. I think they have to pick a horse and go with it. I don't really care whether it's Ronnie Raymond or Jason. Really, I thought the relaunch of Firestorm 10 years ago was successful, and we should have got... We should have either stuck with him or gone back to the original formula, but having both of them book... just in the book seems like a cop-out to me.
I don't think so. And you know what, Chris? This is where I think you said this to me about many things here. I said, it's time to move on. And they have moved on with a new take and a likable take, I think.
I think they're trying to keep both. That's my problem with it.
Well, if the interaction between them doesn't work, I think you'd be right. But because I think the interaction works, I really liked it. It was one of my favorites. What did you hate?
Well, how much do you want to bet Deathstroke is the book that Rob Liefeld quit on?
Yeah.
He decided right before he wrote this book.
God, what a mess.
Truly, the most... I've read independent stuff that, you know, nobody... The print run of 4 that I picked up at Ashcan off the sidewalk that was given to me for free or something. It was awful.
Did you see the panel by panel breakdown on Bleeding Cool?
No.
They pulled Teen Titans number 43, I believe is the issue, which told the origin of Deathstroke in the 1980s. And essentially, as a homage, he copied about half the issue, panel by panel, from a Perez issue.
Really?
Like
poorly, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it's to the point where where in fairness, he probably should have had a layouts credit given to Perez.
Wow,
it's quite something to see like just side by sides. So I mean, yes, he was up front with, well, they wanted me to retell that origin. Why wouldn't I go to that source material? But it's not just a little bit. It's like I said, half the panel's the issue.
But it's and
how
but
do you fuck fudge up to quote you. Deathstroke is a cool freaking character.
Well, this is what I said.
It doesn't take a genius to write.
This is what I said. This is what I said. Is it's too bad that the origin of such a cool character was left in the hands of somebody so utterly lacking skill as Liefeld. And you know what? When you say that, though, I mean, it really blows me away because I kept on going, well, at least I can always go back to the original Deathstroke and just pretend that origin is what he still is. Because I seem to recall that being really good. But
yeah. It's essentially the same origin... The same breakdown, except they substituted his time in Vietnam in the original, in the early 1980s, with Team 7.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is a whole
other thing.
Complete mess.
Yeah.
So, anything else on your list there, Chris, before we get ourselves
sidetracked? No, I'm just actually... The only thing I really have to say is I'm mourning the Damonites crossover, because... I read originally the Image stuff. These are villains that deserve their due. And really, they're not going to get it.
It's just not coming together. Like, they've been trying for a year, and they can't get these things to get any kind of traction.
Which is cursing books that have potential that they're launching. I mean, they're launching Team 7. This is where that Team 7 should be going, and they're not going to be able to. And Team 7 should be canceled now. If they're not going to do the crossover, why even have the book?
Well, and it messed up Superman for a year, because Perez was trying to link stuff into Stormwatch, leading to that. What Jurgens started, he had like one good issue, and then he got bogged down in Hellspont and Damonite stuff, and it's just not going anywhere. Like, it's not getting any traction. It's not going to pay off.
No, and I think the problem was they didn't have... a Wildcats book to tie it all together.
And I think probably it would have led to a Wildcats book.
And I didn't, and it might, they might, I wouldn't be surprised if a Wildcats book shows up still. I mean, I would be actually, I'd be surprised if a Wildcats book didn't show up still is actually a better way to put it.
Yeah, because we've got Jim Lee clearing his schedule. He's leaving Justice League.
Yeah, so I mean, we could see Wildcats and Gen 13, I think we'll still see a version of that sometime in the near future. I'm quite certain, but I mean, I didn't hate Voodoo as much as you, and part of it was that I thought that the Damonites were just so cool looking. Like, seriously, the character design and the coloring and everything, I didn't hate that nearly as much as you did. So, So, is that my, no, that's something of yours. Okay.
This is, Brett's little flying disc I found.
Yeah.
You sure? I lost my Loki as well.
No, it's a Hulk. Okay. It's a Hulk. Okay.
I'm glad you found my flying.
Yeah, it didn't go very far. Yeah.
No.
All right. Brett's back. I really hated Supergirl. I really did. Oh. Also because it was on Krypton, and it's like I generally find Krypton to be just a boring planet outside of the miniseries all those years ago.
World of Krypton.
World of Krypton that Byrne did.
That Byrne did and Mignola hated. Told me how much he hated it while he was signing my copy because I loved
the one panel. The thing I hated the most about it was I just was a little bit bored with it. But then Superboy shows up, and Supergirl's mother says, "Who are you?" And he says, "A friend. There's still time to say goodbye to Kara." Now, I didn't know that was Superboy at the time because I hadn't read Superboy and I hadn't read any DC in a year. So they don't tell me who the character is. He doesn't look like the Superboy I know. It wasn't until I read Superboy I go, I think that's the same. I had to go back to the other issue.
Didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I had to go back to the other issue.
Yeah.
I had to go back to the other issue and go, that is Superboy. I'm like, okay, why is he there? Why did they not tell me he's Superboy? How did he get there? Is it going to be in one of the in Superboy's book? So I read Superboy's book. I'm like, it's not there. Maybe it's in Action or Superman. Because I read those next, and I'm like, it's not there. I'm like, then where is it there? Are you going to do something with it? Are you not doing something with it? It's just stupid. It's like, what? And that ruined that entire book for me. It's a really bad. That's bad writing or bad editing or both.
Yeah, like it could have established it more. I mean, I think you didn't have enough of the.
Why, what, and where, whatever.
Assuming it's going somewhere because there's the other, Superman had that same bit of, out of the Clark Kent turned up, Superman turned up at the end of the, these are mega spoilers, who cares?
We're several days past, exactly.
But yeah, Superman turns up at the end of that issue of Superman, so I'm assuming it is leading to something probably in this crossover that's just about to start.
Okay, so I really did hate Supergirl, especially for that reason. Resurrection Man was really bad. Like I said, I was surprised by Demon Knights. I really liked the art for one thing, and I just, I thought it was a solid story, well paced. Dial H is my least favorite.
Wow.
God, it's just so confusing. And so, it was overly wordy to me.
It should have been left out of the Zeros. Really, the whole thing with Dial H is the mystery of what the hell is going on.
Yeah, and you know what?
Zero
I still don't know what the hell's going on.
No, the Zero issue didn't explain anything.
No.
And it didn't provide any backstory because that's the whole point of the book is that they're trying to introduce all this slowly, and they didn't want to give up entire years worth of story arc for this one issue, so it's sort of a hodgepodge of ideas sort of hinting at what's going to happen, but it doesn't really do its job.
It was bad, and also it's characters I don't know or relate to in any way. Even if you're reading Dial H, these aren't characters
you
know.
They're not.
Yeah, so I mean, how can
actually, the way to do Dial H, they should have done a comic book with the fat guy who found the dial. That would have been fun.
Yeah, and you know what? The thing is, he's not around anymore?
He's around, yeah.
Okay. Anyways.
But just to do it without the dial at all.
Yeah, that would have been almost better. The Dial H, to me, and I'm reading Resurrection Man, and I'm going, isn't Resurrection Man powers kind of actually like the Dial H powers in the backups of all those DC except for he dies?
They've made this huge effort to talk about how Superman's the first public hero, that they all come around after Superman. But now, as the year has gone on, the Demonites have been around for, 1,000 years.
Frankenstein's been around for almost 200 years. I still don't get how it is that
Damian can be 11 years old when he's been Batman for 5 years. I still don't get
it
that.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
And do you want to do any more? Should I go into the timeline? Because
I'm gonna go a little bit more. Just gonna say, I really thought that Suicide Squad was really bad. Captain Atom was almost as bad as Dial H. It's still, just brutal. Like I say, most of the DC Presents wasn't very good. Frankenstein did not work for me very much. Green Arrow, I just thought it was... Seriously, Green Arrow is just another superhero. Like, I want to do good, and hey, he's just like Batman. You know what? He's got an arrow, and he doesn't have any training, but he can get out there and just beat people up. Anybody can do this. Batman's not special, and neither is Green Arrow. Like, you just, and then, hey, he screwed up, and it's caused a lot of damage. Boy, he's going to make up for it. A young superhero who wasn't responsible, and now he's going to make up for it? Where have I heard this story before? Just, it was awful. Just, Winnick sucks. Seriously, that guy sucks. What else?
What did Winnick write?
He wrote Green Arrow.
He wrote several things.
Oh, did you write that?
Yeah.
I thought it was Ann Nesenti on Arrow.
It had been announced as Ann Nesenti, and it was actually Judd Winnick.
Okay.
Or is it vice versa?
No, Ann Nesenti only wrote
Catwoman.
Yeah, and I thought the Red Hood origin was really bad.
What did you guys think of? This was a discussion point. Was that backup story in Red Hood and the Outlaws that Joker narrates, the House of Mystery stuff.
That makes no sense within the continuity of
it. It's presented with the Joker narrating. So,
yeah.
Do you think we're supposed to believe it?
I cannot tell, but I tell you, if the Joker's narrating and he doesn't know that Bruce Wayne is Batman, he's a moron. Because he set up this kid to become the next Robin, and this kid ends up living with Bruce Wayne and becomes the next Robin, and he can't figure it out. He can't put to it. It's like, it's just bad. It's bad stuff.
Frankly, I don't even remember it. I mean,
it's bad.
I
like the structure of it. I like the structure with him. Like,
it was funny,
secrets kind of,
but
thing,
it was awful.
Yeah, there's vague little bits that you bring up, and I'm like, oh.
Speaking of which, hand me the Frankenstein. You're gonna have to talk about something, but you don't have the. You don't have it? I thought you had it handy. I thought you had the books handy. No? Okay.
We'll do. Anything else we want to talk about on the Zeros?
I'll just throw. Does anyone think Frankenstein is being wedged in this Rot World crossover? So he is a crossover.
I don't know. Like,
I'm feeling that this is where Frankenstein is going to get canceled. We're going to get lost from the main story. They don't have enough time to develop him into something that's exciting, and they're just wedging him in with a couple other mystical characters. I got the same problem with Justice League Dark. Well, similar problems with Justice League Dark. Where's the dark?
It is one of the books, like in Liefeld's big blow up with DC. He made an offhand reference that. That a bunch more books would get canceled top of the year because they've announced GI Combat's done,
mm-hmm.
But there seemed to be leading up to some kind of renovation happening around January, February because we've got Morrison leaving, we've got creative teams switching around, we've got Jim Lee moving off of art to do something else, so yeah, we could be seeing something big happen, but he. Sent out a list. He tweeted a list without any kind of notes on it, and Frankenstein was on the list. Presumably, these are ones that he at least heard some kind of
really
scuttlebutt.
Should keep that to himself. I don't care.
He's got nothing keeping him to his side.
Nope. Yeah, he's got no, including
no edit for that guy.
There's no edit. Well, there's no morals either.
To say,
but God bless him for that though, because he was a lot. It was great for me this week that's.
It was good. Yeah, sure. I know, but still,
Frankenstein should. Co-star in a major book with recognizable heroes.
I think he should go away. I've said it before. He's Hellboy. He should go away. I can't see it.
Lame Grant Morrison for that one.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
This is actually something because we talk about something big coming up there, and of course, the next big thing is like you said, the Marvel reboot relaunch. I can't tell the difference.
Now, relaunch. Yeah.
Yeah. How much do you think these companies are reacting to each other, and how much do you think they're just doing their best to do their best? So, in other words, is DC going, oh, Marvel's relaunching, we got to do this? And Marvel's going, oh, DC did the Zeros, and we got to do this? Or how much do you think it's just, let's tell the best stories and the best ideas and in-house, and you're trying to, you're running on your own momentum?
I would say that Marvel's Marvel Now project was enough to piss off Rucka for him to leave.
Mm-hmm.
That's how rough this one's been. I mean, Greg Rucka is walking out on... He's leaving Punisher because Punisher's being canceled at 16. And He's got a 5-issue.
But I just mean, like, when how much do you think the companies and the editorial powers that be are basing their decisions on what to do on the what will make the best sales, what will be best creatively, or how much are they basing it on trying to play chess and counter DC and DC trying to counter Marvel? How much of that do you think goes on? Is it a lot or a little?
I'm probably not the one to ask, because I'm a DC fanboy, so I'm likely going to be more lean to like more forgiving of DC's decisions and more critical of Marvel's.
So I'm not even asking about being critical, or I'm just asking: do these guys? Do you think they react to each other?
I think DC. I mean, they do certainly. I mean, I think DC was reacting to the market in general, and Marvel's reacting to DC.
Okay, what do you think, Brett? Do you really think these guys actually care about what the other one's doing, or that much, or do you think it is a big deal, or just a small deal, or?
Well, I think what it has everything to do with is sales. And the truth of the matter is that DC proved with their reboot that they got sales at that point. And I think that Marvel says, well, if you're going to get sales like that, then we got to jump on the bandwagon. I do feel that they jumped on the bandwagon. But at the same time, the zeros, I also feel, are a grab by DC to push the market up again, because it's 1 year later, and I think things are definitely slowing down for them. I mean, AVX pushed Marvel into the lead, and I think that the zeros are DC's way of attempting to take that back. Can they do a year or two? I don't think so.
Marvel's reaction is ridiculous. They are definitely reacting, although I would say that they are responding to pressures within the company that, you know, why DC this? Why aren't we doing this? I don't think it's amid the people putting out the book would have liked to go this way, but they're being forced to by higher ups. I think they're reacting to what DC did.
It's pretty obvious to me that they are, because it seems to me they have been reacting to each other with their crossovers. And it's like Marvel does Infinite Crisis, and so DC does Infinite Crisis, Marvel does Civil War. And you know what I mean? It seems to me for a long time they've been trying to counter each other instead of just doing their own thing. They should just do their own thing and not care what the other guy's doing. If they're doing the best books they can do, they'll get their market share anyways. And Marvel has moved ahead of DC anyways. I don't know why they're going to do this relaunch, but that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Is DC, whatever they're planning, that's going to be their big thing in early 2013, feels to me like it's their counter to Marvel now. And I don't know if that's going to be a good thing.
I think DC has always planned this. Just like the Zeros, I think, was planned from the beginning.
Comics is an ebb and flow. I mean, you can't. Everybody's going to copy somebody else, and or everybody's going to have an idea that somebody else has. Everybody talks to each other. I mean, Twitter especially has made that, you know, perfectly clear.
Yeah, and they are in a lot of ways doing their own thing right now. I mean, Marvel does the double shipping with fewer titles. I mean, Marvel doesn't actually publish as many titles as DC does, but they publish more comics monthly. Because of the amount of double shipping. Like, half of the Marvel Now books will double ship.
Mm-hmm.
And it could end up being more than that. Like, we've only seen the October stuff, October, November. We could be looking at, like, an entire Marvel line that double ships.
DC should cut out some of these 52 books, about 20 of them, and do the same if they want better.
Oh, God.
Of their best sellers.
The double shipping is becoming really unpopular.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's one thing to have. It's funny that you can have.
Good for them. It's good for their bottom line, obviously, though, to do that with their best sellers.
It is, but I mean, they were double shipping Venom, though. They were double shipping Punisher. You know, they're not top 10 books. They were still, and they were still double shipping them. Daredevil. You know, it's not just Amazing Spider-Man. They started it on Amazing Spider-Man, but it's everything now.
Mm.
And they're bringing variant covers. Like, they're doing more variant covers than even Dynamite's doing. So. Uncanny Avengers. I think it's Uncanny Avengers that's doing 18 covers.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, it's out of hand.
I'm just, for myself, I'm getting really sick and tired of the big two. Like, I'm moving completely towards...
Which you've done a couple of years in the past.
Yeah,
sure I have. And maybe, you know, it's like I spoke with...
There's an ebb and flow.
Yeah, but with Bill Willingham, you know, and I asked him about how his tastes have changed, and he mentioned that his taste cycle, that, you know, he'll go through these different cycles, but it always cycles back. And maybe that's the truth.
And how much of this, though, is image? How much of this is image books that you find yourself going to? As I've been saying, the last year or so, image is the new vertigo.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's that idea of, like, I want to read something different. I want to read something
And how much
original.
Of it is over at image, would you say?
I mean, it's not a I'm not saying it's a ton. I've stripped down my current reads fairly thin. You know, because I'm
reading
so much.
Well,
that's
because we have to read 52 freaking zero issues.
Yeah, but it's because, you know, of review books, but it's also because I'm enjoying going back and reading stuff that I read, you know, from 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Because it's shocking when I sit back and read a superhero book from 20 years ago, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome, I love it.
You know what, it's true, though. I mean, we did that Frank Miller thing. It was great. It was very well received, and we had a lot of fun doing it. We're going to do something similar for Byrne. We don't quite have the concept of if we can do it in one thing or not. He's done even more books than Miller, right? But we're going to do something like that. So we're going, all of us have been going back and reading some Byrne, and it's like, holy crap, I don't know if anything's matching up to some, like, this Fantastic Four or stuff like that. Like, you know, it's true.
Yeah, I have no interest in reading the vast majority of this stuff that we just reviewed, because I know that I can read something that's just as good, if not better, from before.
Yeah, that's
despite
true.
The fact that we have more books on the shelves than ever, I think the time might be right for another company to try to relaunch a superhero universe.
Oh, what about Valiant?
Got Valiant. Yeah, I mean, Valiant's...
And I'm loving Archer and Armstrong. That's one of my favorite books. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean except for Harbinger, which Chris ruined for me. I can't even see an issue turn up before I like. Oh,
rapists.
Yeah, that was,
it's the rapist.
It was the rapist book. That's right.
Yeah. It's true though. It's true.
But, all right, Keith. Talk about your Talk about your time.
Our fantastic partners, Comicosity.
Comicosity. Now, this is a project that I took to Comicosity to Aaron at Comicosity about a month
ago. The
classiest
man in comics,
he
Aaron
is.
Long.
Absolutely, and he was
at Juice005 on Twitter.
He was
certainly isn't you.
No, I'm not classy at all.
He was.
Yeah, you got to listen to that latest Mojo. There's no class.
So we have been talking for like we on the show have been talking for a couple of months about what we were going to do for Zero Month. And we just, you know, we went back and forth on how we were going to do it and whether Mo was going to read them or not. And then realized that if we waited to the final week that we would get to episode 52, on the final week of Zero Month. So that was serendipity. And along the way, I started talking to Aaron about timelining out all of the history that was in those 55 Zero issues, and thought, you know, I can map that out and you know, have a little bit of a history of the DC universe. So I've been saying for a year, after Crisis, we had Perez and Wolfman's history of the DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
After Infinite Crisis, we had the Dan Jurgens history of the DC universe backups in 52. There isn't one this time, and I think there should be. So Aaron and I started talking about how this could work, how we could create a little thing, and then I started talking about it on Twitter, and people offered to help with other books, particularly our buddy Matt Photocub on Twitter, who collects a lot of books and offered to go through a few of them. And once we were at a certain tipping point, we just decided to do all of them. Every book that had been published that I consider canon in the new 52, which ends up being 739 comics.
You stupid idiot.
So I recruited five people, including, I mean, Aaron didn't do any of the timelining, but he certainly did editing. Matt did Matt and I did the lion's share of the books. Several other people helped along the way, and we went through every book published in the new 52 and came up with every reference to a date or a time or a 3 years ago, a 5 years ago, 400 years ago that's referenced, and just put them in a chart. It is 5,700 words long.
Yeah.
Is a massive piece. It is on Comicosity under the title History of the DC Universe 3.0.
And it's awesome.
And
congratulations on it, because it is awesome.
Thank you. It has exploded.
Like I say, it's why you haven't been seen in public in
that's
weeks.
Right. Yeah, it is unfortunately why I couldn't do the Mojo show. It's why I couldn't do the sit in on the Bill Willingham interview, both of which I would have loved to have done. But we were really trying to get it up as soon as we could after the zeros were out. Went up Friday morning. Comicosity had a record day for traffic. And Wired.com listed it as under what we are reading, which was huge. And Bleeding Cool put it on the front page of their site.
And honestly, DC should go over to you guys and say, now that you've done this for us, can we use it? Can we put it somewhere? Because they need it for themselves and for their fans as well.
Yeah, I'm hoping
they couldn't do it better. I'll tell you that.
I'm still hoping that DC grabs onto it. It's been great though.
I can't remember when I read it. Is there any links or references to We Talk Comics? I know there's references.
Absolutely,
there's links
in the first sentence.
All right, I can't remember. I looked at
like
it when
the
it first went
word.
Up. I'll be honest with you. It's 5,700 pages. I haven't or 5,700 whatever. I haven't gone through all of it yet. I'm probably 2/3 of the way yet.
Well, it's one of the cool things was that as I was doing this, I came up with a few spots that didn't quite work for me. Matt got Gail Simone to clarify the actual age of Barbara Gordon, which was cool.
19?
She is
21.
Okay, 21.
So a couple of points that were only from direct creators, but I decided to put them in just crediting the creators. James Robinson clarified something on Earth 2. The coolest one, though, and the one that got the most attention, was that after reading Deathstroke number 0, I was trying to timeline Deathstroke and Team 7 and some events in an earlier issue of Deathstroke and a couple of issues of Resurrection Man, and they just don't work. They absolutely do not work. Everything else mostly works, except for this Deathstroke issue.
What's the Deathstroke issue?
Well, the problem is that replacement of Team 7, where he used to be in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. The Zero, yeah.
In the Zero. Now, that would have been fine, because it hits a plot point of where he was trained and where he, you know, where he served, etc. But his children are born after that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Team 7 has established quite clearly everywhere else that it is after the Apocalypse Invasion 5 years ago, so after the Justice League 1-6 arc, is when Team 7 forms. So 5 years ago. His kids, who are now in at least their late teens, probably 20s, were born after Team 7 in the Deathstroke number 0. So it's somewhere between 50 and 20 years off. Yeah, like 15 and 20 years.
That's a lot.
Amazingly, like so far off.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So I sent Rob Liefeld a very polite note and said, you know, I just can't reconcile these two things. And he said it's editorial fault.
Yeah. Well, you actually put up a picture of the Twitter.
Yeah, I did.
Which I liked. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, that was good.
My favorite part of the entire post was just the
yeah. That's actually my that's what I've seen. I haven't read it in order because I went through them quickly. Like I skimmed them to go, what do I want to read the most? And when I got to that's like, well, I want to read this because yeah. I'm like, that's cool that you know that how you had that in there. So I like that. So.
And well, yeah, because it came up, and I'm amazed at how well it held together. I mean, that's. It's funny how much attention it got for the mistakes that are in there, the things that don't work. Because, you know, we sent it on to Bleeding Cool, to Rich at Bleeding Cool, and said, there's this thing, take a look at it. Maybe it's something you can, you know, give a signal boost to. Rich just glommed onto this spot at the end where I said, these are the things that I couldn't make work. And I referred to it as the asterisk of editorial shame. Because no matter how hard I pushed, no matter how hard I tried to massage these things, they wouldn't work. And one of them's Damien's age.
Yeah.
And particularly how Damien relates to Batman being in costume.
Yeah.
So Rich pulled that 300 words from the end of a 5,700-word article and posted it on his site as, here's what the work these people have done, making a timeline, and it really, really is good. But here's the section that they just could not make work.
Yeah.
And the headline was History of the DC Universe Timeline with a Little Help from Rob Liefeld. And Rob actually tweeted me back after it went live. He had seen the article on Bleeding Cool and said, oh, by the way, this issue of Deathstroke number 6 also doesn't work. That was the first note I got on the history was Rob Liefeld telling me another issue that doesn't fit. So very, very cool. And like Bleeding Cool has, there's 150 comments on that site. Comic Resources has a forum page on it now. Comicosity has comments that are growing.
So yeah, I'm going to take a link and put it on our front page also, just to this article, so people can read it. The small sample, if that's okay with Aaron, I'm sure it will be. So
we give him enough stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We'll just take a little sample and just a link for the rest of it, so that people can get to it from our site as well.
But basically,
in case anybody's not smart enough to spell Comicosity, I think people listening to us are they're the smartest people in comics.
Well, at least they're the most educated. Deathstroke's the one that doesn't work. Yeah. Like, there is no way to make Deathstroke look. And it's not just that one, it's actually several spots.
And he pretty much just said, I did what DC told me to do. Yeah. I washed my hands of the whole damn thing.
Yeah, and it's... but he doesn't work in a couple other books either. I mean, the stuff in Resurrection Man doesn't really...
But you know what? As much as I'm not a fan of him, and since he's uncensored, and since he's read this and commented with you, I think you should try and get a Bill Willingham-type interview with the guy. I would love that.
I was actually thinking of that. Like, Rob Liefeld is one of those guys that I would
like, as love much as, and you know what? I bet you he'd go, okay, and you guys have guys that are not a fan. I bet you he'd be like, you know, yeah,
he doesn't do very much.
I don't blame him. Well, most people aren't as cool as us, so he shouldn't. But, you know, I would throw it past there. I mean, he'd probably say no, but what the hell? Because it sounds to me like he does have stuff he wants to get off his chest, and at least he respects what you did enough to maybe open that door. But either way, I do like that he said he's open about whatever he put it out there. That's cool. I mean, say that. I mean, like I say, I think he should keep a lot of this stuff to himself, because I think he's unprofessional. But I think he crosses the line. You can be honest without being unprofessional. I'm not sure that he always knows the line. That's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. I mean, it's been really. You know, like the person who just got fired and they're knocking stuff off desks as they go out.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think one of the key things is that everybody on the Twitterverse is goading him to doing it. Everybody wants him to do it because he's the train wreck that everybody wants to watch.
Yeah.
And so if you can figure out a question, then you're going to be like, hey, Rob Liefeld, what do you think of this? Poke, poke, poke. And it's just that like... he's going to answer.
Yeah, you poke the bear, he's going to react, right? Yeah.
I'm actually kind of wondering what he's doing next. I'm going to read it. I think...
I'm not.
I think he might just make a big comeback. Like,
these no, he's not.
Don't know what he's doing.
No!
I
Chris!
I mean, I'm one of his young biggest blood detractors. But I would love to see him come back with, screw you, this is going to be awesome book.
He's been clear. I mean, certainly he's very clearly blamed editorial for everything that has gone.
Yes, no, and I mean,
how about on those books he self-published? Where was the editorial? Oh, he was the editorial. He should blame the editorial for screwing those up too. The editorial was awful. So was the writer and artist.
But in all fairness, I mean, I've like, you know, whatever you guys say. I mean, I love what's happening in Prophet. I think it's a great book. And the truth is that he's sitting back and letting it happen.
Yeah. Punisher needs a writer.
Yeah. There you go.
I think there's just going to be a Punisher book.
No, Punisher's part of that team.
Yeah,
right?
That's what Ruckus said, is that basically they just said the book's selling fine, we're canceling it, and he's going to be in a team now.
So what is, I guess that is the next big thing, though, is the Marvel Now. That's the next big thing in the world of comics for us to look forward to and try and figure out some way to do a show around it. So what are you guys, what are you expecting, Keith? What are you expecting, Brett, Chris? And guys, what are you guys looking forward to or not looking forward to in this? How's it, how do you feel about Marvel Now?
For me?
See what I did there? See what I did?
Right now, Marvel Now, I'm cooling on it very fast. And part of the problem is, if I was completely out of Marvel right now, I would be excited about a jump on point and about an entry point. But I got excited about an entry point 9 months ago with Schism. And Schism never paid off. We had like four, maybe five issues of story for any of those books, and then they got bogged down in AVX for 6 months. I have quit all of those books. I'm only reading the core AVX book now. And I'm going to be done, you know, in next week or the week after when that number 12 comes out. And I have no sense that Marvel Now is going to be, is going to have any kind of stability or any kind of arc to it any more than those books did. I mean, I was very, like, after Schism, I was really interested in the idea of Wolverine running the school, Cyclops running Utopia, and how those two would play off philosophically over the long term. And the long term was 5 issues. So, I mean, with no sense that there's, that Marvel Now is going to be any different than that, I don't know why I should bother. Like, I mean, how many, are we going to get 5 or 6 issues and then they get bogged down in another crossover that takes up most of next year?
That sounds like Marvel.
And for me, Marvel Now is pushing me off books rather than putting me on. I love the Fantastic Four. I love the FF. Matt Fraction takes over. I don't particularly like him. Okay. They move Hickman over to the Avengers. I haven't been interested in the Avengers. I might collect a couple issues, but I'm down 2 books. They replace my entire Thunderbolts team with every character they don't know what to do with. I'm not on that. Really, they're just shuffling talent and really not making me interested. Plus, I mean, everybody I really like seems to quit. Greg Rucka, gone. I'm actually kind of wondering right now how his relationship ended with DC. I just would like a Greg Rucka book.
It ended badly.
Did it?
Yeah, badly?
Very badly.
How come?
I don't know exactly where they split, but I mean, when Rucka was talking about leaving Marvel, he basically said the same things about DC, that...
Because he was with them a long time.
He was, and at some point, he and DiDio had a falling out, and DiDio said some stuff about Gotham Central that was basically like, you know, it never paid for itself. It was never that much of a success. But when Rucka was there, he had said, "I'll publish that book is being published as long as I'm with DC." So. I don't know. They had a falling out at some point. He went to Marvel. He's not thrilled there either. He's going to move into creator-owned, and probably we're all better off.
Yeah.
We'll get another Whiteout?
Hopefully. Yeah.
That'd rule.
Yeah. No, just with Marvel 52, everyone I'm excited about is either leaving.
I love it.
No. Marvel Now.
That's what we're calling it from now
on.
It's Marvel 50. Actually, when we do the issue, at least, like, we're not sure how we're going to wrap up all the relaunch. But I'm pretty sure the title of that show will be Marvel 52.
I think this should be DC Now, then.
Let's call this DC Now, yeah. Yeah.
It's pushing me out rather than dragging me in, which is the sign of a failure.
Which is the point at the end of the day.
And and ultimately, I'm the ultimate Marvel apologist. So.
I just dropped Venom.
Wow.
Is Remender still?
Remender left 2 issues back, and I hate the two newest issues.
And who was it that?
Cullen Bunn, and I absolutely despise those 2 issues. So that's it. I'm done.
Look at the bright side. It could be Fraction.
We'll see how long Secret Avengers stays. But I imagine that one's going to go with because Remender's he's moving up fast. Hmm.
I mean, for me, like, I'm looking at it from the same point that I look at it, this DC Zero. I want to like it. I really want to. I want to find something that is going to, you know, warm up my frozen heart in this case. And I really, really want something
and Brett's comic pull list grew 3 sizes
black.
That day.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. The new 52, at least we had some books that didn't change current creative teams. Sure, we got a new number one, but we had Batman, Batwoman, still the same creative team. Green Lantern, on a whole, continue on. We had the promise of Morrison continuing with Batman Inc., although...
The promise.
Eventually.
The promise. Eventually, yeah. It was.
I mean, but for me, I say to you, like, I don't read those books, and just because they have the same creative team, and I read them, and I'm like, I have no interest.
I'm not claiming it was successful. I'm just saying at least I had something to glom onto, and I'm not finding that with Marvel. Every time I get excited about a book, they have one of the Thunder teases, and I'm ultimately disappointed.
I mean, it'll be what it's going to be, and the truth of the matter is that I want to like it. That it's the same thing as this. I want to like it, and I haven't. Yeah. And that's my biggest problem.
And you know what? You want to like something like Action Comics, and you don't? And meanwhile, I go into Action Comics expecting to hate it, and I end up loving it. So I don't know if that's, you know?
Maybe I would have been better off if I'd said that if I had gone into this
that I feel better
wanting
about
to hate everything.
I feel better about DC now than you,
because
I went into this expecting to hate everything, and you went in wanting to love everything. Maybe that's the difference. Maybe that's the key. Lowered expectations.
I
forget. Is Greg Pak actually writing any of the new...
Yes.
New Marvel Now books?
Yes, but I don't remember what.
Oh, okay.
And you know what?
I just remember his name being on something, but I don't remember.
As much as I have the reputation as the angry guy who hates everything and looks for things to hate, the truth is that I'm looking at Marvel Now, and probably because I'm not following the news, other than what I get on Comicosity, which is, of course, the best news. Sorry, but what's that?
I think it's Hulk, Chris.
Hulk.
I think it's Hulk.
He's back on Hulk? But anyways, I'm not... This has probably softened me towards Marvel Now. Like the fact that I read this, I went, okay, DC's a better product. Here's what I feel like reading this. I feel like DC's a better product than they were a year ago, and they're just as good as they were when I was enjoying it. And so I look at Marvel Now, and I'm thinking, and when I say Marvel Now, I mean Marvel currently, and I'm thinking to myself, there's a lot of average there, and... Maybe this has probably softened me. They'll probably have some bumps in the road. Probably won't be so good at first. But a year from now, this will probably be a positive move and have a better Marvel Universe for me to read. And so I'm probably softened, and I probably have more patience, and I have a little more faith in Marvel because DC has kind of restored my faith in the possibility that this could be a good thing. So I that's it. I'm actually thinking this... I'm feeling pretty good about comics right now, and even about Marvel Now. So yeah, I don't know. I think we're pretty much done here, guys, aren't we? It's getting cold out here.
It is. It's chilled beers in the patio.
Yeah,
the beers aren't even sweating.
As we're doing this, it is September 30th in Canada. So at night it starts to cool off a little bit, even though it's been gorgeous during the day.
But that doesn't mean that it's snow all the time.
No. Actually, yeah, no,
snow's
we didn't.
Snow on Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly.
The snow forecast for Wednesday.
But that's October. Come on, man.
That's all right. We had a good run. We've had a good run. Oh, come on. Like, it never got warm enough for your igloo to melt.
Before we close out, I do want to thank Chris for making the trip to the big city. You have a 47-hour sled dog trip back to Lloydminster.
Oh, come on. We're in the 20th century. I use a skidoo.
Yeah, that's right. And Chris will be back in town, so maybe we'll get a chance to do another live one in a couple weeks. We're not going to do one now for a week and a half because this is September 30th as we're recording this. Normally we record on Wednesdays that would show up for Fridays. And it just doesn't seem to make any sense since we've had three shows now in like the last 5 days with the Mojo and the Willingham and this.
But Fred was this nice one being extra long. To give him a Bill and William interview.
Exactly.
So you're not totally left out.
Yeah, you
Man,
had to.
If you can't take 90 minutes of me and Bill Willingham, then I don't know what the hell's wrong with.
And you had 100 minutes of me and Joe Mulvey and Tyler James. So. Recently as well as this podcast, which I think is 7 hours long, even though it's only 52 minutes to do all the books. So
did anyone press
for all those people? Yeah, for all those people who stopped.
That's my nightmare. Is Brett's like, well, I was good. I wasn't recording. I thought when he.
That is the worst.
You're doing it on your phone.
I am not editing this show at all.
No, I think this show could go up. It should go up in its entirety. It should be. It's a very raw, real.
If you don't understand us, then that's just your.
That's all right. That's all right. I think we're good here. And like I say, we won't do one. So we'll be back then. We'll be recording probably October 10th and for a new show October 12th. So a small break, we all earned it. I mean, I think I read 30 DC books yesterday. I felt like studying for a finals exam, like cramming. So if you ask me about any of them, I don't remember them.
Look like an exam.
Yeah, pretty much. So that's pretty much it. I am Mo at We Talk Podcast. Thanks to everybody who's been listening to us for the last year. Thanks for another record month at We Talk Podcasts. Another record month of We Talk Wrestling, our sister site as well. Everybody who listens, the thousands of people listening or reading us, that is super cool. We really appreciate it. Tyler James, Joel Mulvey at Comics Tribe, Aaron Long, Juice005, at Juice005, and Comicosity, thanks to them. Longbox Graveyard, Paul O'Connor, who's got just about the greatest blog site and does the coolest shows, and being our partner, I want to thank him. I want to thank the three of you. I'm not going to thank Addy at We Talk Wrestling because he's a dick. But thanks to everybody who contributes blogs for us, part-time blogs, Freaks TV. Who else we got? Ajami. So, and if anybody wants to do any blogging or any podcast shows, you can always contact me. I'm Mo at We Talk Podcast, Mo_WeTalk. I am currently OUT. You guys, one of you guys gets to wrap up tonight.
All right, well, I'm going to thank Bill Willingham because he rocked. And he gave me everything I wanted. In fact, you know, I could have gone longer, but I felt it 90 minutes, it was probably time to wrap it up. So big thanks to Bill and support everything that he does. I'm Brett, B-R-E-T-T underscore WeTalk, and Brett at WeTalkPodcast.com. I mean, I'm loving it all right now. Keith?
Well, I'll wrap up, Chris.
You're going to wrap up. All right. Because I wrapped up the Bill Willingham thing, yeah. So that's a wrap
I'm
up.
I'm Chris at WeTalkPodcast.com. Chris _ WeTalk on Twitter. Fudge off, Keith.
So I am Keith at WeTalkPodcast.com. I am CubReporterK on Twitter. And I do want to thank Matt, Gavin, David, Amy Lynn, and of course Aaron for making the history of the DC Universe 3.0 happen. It was unbelievable, and literally thousands of people have read it in the past 2 days. It's really, really cool. And our intention was always to have this episode and the timeline in a very short length of time so that really we can just be doing this big time. And then I will have to talk about Marvel nonstop for the next month. I think we've now exhausted what we can say. There's no number ones for DC coming up. I think we are OUT.
Did you talk about the Comics Podcast Network?
No, Mo does that. No.
Yeah. And that's another person to thank. Thanks to the Comics Podcast Network. Now, officially, we are
OUT.
I feel like that needs to be like a barbershop quartet. OUT.